The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Right this way, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
EFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are likely to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
The here was simply born to soak cork. Come, Luigi.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are all corks the same?
No. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grave.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget, this one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Fred here. Paul will be on his way. Andy had one of his gastric problems this morning, so he is not at work today, working from home, close to his bathroom, which is okay with me. We don't want him here. So Paul will be by in a second, just coming from the locker room. Eric will be by later after practice to give us that update, as well as do the picks for us. So we've got a lot to talk about. It's Jets week. It's Thursday. And just a few more days before the Patriots head down to the Meadowlands to take on the Jets. Three-way tie atop the AFC East. Bills, Patriots, and Jets all at 5-3. So this is a huge game. Game number 9 for the Patriots. And we'll see what happens. Injuries yesterday. Chung was not practicing, and Spikes was not practicing. That's big. But on the Jets side, Plaxico Burress did not practice, so it's questionable whether or not he'll be ready to go as well. So both teams missing some players, but I think the Spikes absence is particularly worrisome for the Patriots. I think he's really coming on, and I know these guys make fun of me, but I saw that happening starting back in the Oakland game where he started to play a lot better, and I think he's improved every week, and to the point where, you know, he was the best, I think, defensive player on the field last week against the Giants until he went out with his knee injury, had that collision on the goal line on that pass breakup, and so probably won't be in the game. Strained MCL, you know, there's different degrees of that, so, you know, you can't rule him out 100%, but it probably not going to play. Paul's here.
Sorry for the delay, Freddie.
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
Just from the locker room?
Yeah, you were in the locker room, so you saw how quiet it was.
Yeah, and it didn't get any...
Not really. It's just, you know, Brandon Dederick, James Ahedebo. I think Stephen Ridley may have spoken for a little bit, right. But that's...
I saw Aaron Hernandez talking to...
Aaron Hernandez was talking to Ian for a little bit, and He didn't want to. He gave Ian a real hard time about that. Evidently, he had something set up. But Aaron was looking to get right out of there, so I'm not really sure what that was all about. But, yeah, just a quiet day. After yesterday was a pretty busy day with,
right,
you know, the Haynesworth aftermath. and stuff like that. A lot of the players were asked about Albert yesterday.
Plus, it was free pizza.
Yeah, and right. Plus you have the Rex Ryan conference call right. on free pizza day, which right. That
sure.
increases what normally is a very busy day on Wednesday. But today, just the opposite. Pretty low key, and not a lot of just to kind of fill the people in on the Haynesworth aftermath. I mean, he did get picked up by Tampa Bay.
Right.
He got claimed on waivers by Tampa Bay, which was, I thought, somewhat surprising. And even Mark Domenech admitted that he's done nothing with the Patriots. He said he went over his every snap that he had, 134 snaps that he counted, and he said what he had like seven quarterback pressures or something like that, or some sort of thing. And then he even followed up by saying, which is not a lot, admittedly not a lot. So they're clearly desperate, and they took a shot. But most of the players asked about Haynesworth yesterday stayed away from it, as you would imagine.
Did you sense, remember when they got rid of Lawyer Malloy, and then when they got rid of Richard Seymour, guys like Wilfork weren't happy with that.
Especially,
did you sense that this time?
No.
Okay.
No, the opposite. That's a good point. I thought that there was a sense that people wanted to say more, and there were some anonymous. There was anonymous quotes in the Globe. There was one from an anonymous player who said it's about production around here, and then the person I think it was Shalice Manza Young who wrote the story. I think she said, "Well, well, what about Ocho Cinco?" And the player quickly corrected and said, "He's trying. He's doing everything we're asking him to do." So clearly, it was a production and an effort thing,
right.
like we have been saying all along. This, all three of us, when Eric is here, all four of us have been pretty much on the same page when it comes to Haynesworth.
The theme last week seemed to be we're mad. Is there a theme this week?
I think this is. I think they feel like they're a little bit of crossroads. Listening to Tom yesterday, saying it's going to be interesting to see how we react. I think he's sort of ratcheting the urgency up a little bit for his teammates. I think he's trying to impress upon them the importance of playing mistake-free football, because that's what's doing the team in right now.
Right.
It's not like this team is that far away. They're making plays, but they're making mistakes. Now, last year, they didn't make those mistakes.
Right.
This year, they're turning the ball over too many times. We know they're struggling on defense, but offensively, they're not bailing the defense out as often this year because they're making too many mistakes.
And I heard, I don't know if it was someone repeating what Belichick said or a player kind of interpreting what, but one of the messages is, look, we're 5-3, we're tied for first place, now the second half starts.
Absolutely.
Basically, it's a new season.
And isn't that right?
I guess so, yeah.
Isn't that the way to look at it?
Yeah.
I don't think that if you had asked, and I know they wouldn't answer because they don't do that, but if you had asked Patriots players and coaches before the start of the season, would you be happy with the 5-3 record at the halfway point? I think to a man they would have said no.
Right.
I don't think they would have answered that question,
right.
but I think if you asked them
sure.
honestly, they wouldn't have been happy. But that's all said and done. There's nothing you can do about that now. They've lost three games. You got to move on. And fortunately, unlike last year when the Patriots were, I think they were 6-2 at this point, it's only a one game difference.
Yeah.
So you can still identify what you're going to do as a team and what you're going to become as a team based on what you do in the second half. So I think if that's Bill's message, it's a good one.
It's just a hell of a way to start that second half.
No. Yeah, I know. And then it would be one thing if you were 5-3, but you maybe had won last week.
Right.
And then you had the Jets. But now if you lose to this Jets game, it's the three-game losing streak, and all of a sudden it feels like it's a lot worse than 5-4.
Right.
So that'll be interesting to see how that all unfolds. But I said it, we talked about the game a little bit yesterday. I don't think it's an unwinnable game or anything. I don't think the Jets are
but
better
they
than
can't
the Patriots.
Make mistakes.
No,
they cannot
can't go down
mistakes.
There and make mistakes.
No.
And the offense has got to play better than it's played.
They have to take, and there will be opportunities, but they have to, seize every opportunity that they have, and they can't make mistakes because they'll get bogged down. The Jets will bog them down for periods of that game.
And they're more than content. The first half of the Giants game when it went into a battle of punts, that wasn't really conducive to either team because the Giants don't have a great defense, and their offense has got to get leads for them so they can get out and play the way they want to play. So slopping back and forth with punts wasn't really good for anybody in that game. But I think slopping back and forth with punts is fine for the Jets.
Hey, I'm just watching this thing on NFL. When the Browns played the Oh, my God. When the Browns played the Broncos, when was that?
I think it was the that's the Texans.
Oh, I mean the Texans played the Broncos. Oh, yeah. Texans played the Browns.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know when that was.
I mean, the guy
Why
from
did
the
he
Browns
take off his helmet,
just,
though?
Just headbutted a Texans guy who wasn't wearing a helmet.
It looks like all the Browns are apologizing to him now. But I don't know why he took off his helmet. Why did Cushing take off his helmet?
I don't know.
That, to me, that's not a normal reaction on a football field when you get in an argument with someone.
But that had to hurt.
Oh, yeah. He's I mean, look at the size of the Band-Aid on his head.
A headbutt without a with a helmet would hurt. But, oh, my God.
I mean, that bandage pretty much takes up his entire forehead. That's wow. on his right now. Look at him.
I didn't hear. Did that guy
I don't remember
got
that.
Kicked out of the game, right?
Oh, that must have been last week, right?
30-12.
Was
right.
that last week's game?
Right.
I don't remember seeing any
Browns
highlights
guy
for that.
Must have been kicked out of the game. Sorry to digress, but I caught another, my eye. I couldn't believe it.
I'm just looking. Houston. Yeah, it was last week.
Wow. That guy should be kicked out of the game, maybe suspended for another game, and fined $50,000.
I got to make an apology, too, Fred.
About?
To you.
Oh, yeah?
And to you and to the listeners about yesterday. I do. I feel like I need to do this. I said this early in the show yesterday. I am really, really, really bothered. Personally, by this whole thing,
the Penn State thing.
Yeah. Not that it touches me personally, but right. I mean, I'm a human being, so it touches me personally, and I'm not with it. I'm not in the right state of mind. You and I get in an argument, and we always get in arguments. I don't care about that.
Right.
But I overreacted to it because I think I'm really, really in a bad place. This joke, every single day I wake up and I find out something else that makes my skin crawl. The latest thing now, there's a possibility that Jerry Sandusky is actually pimping out those kids from his charity, Second Mile, to wealthy right. donors. There's so many things that we don't know about this story, and every one of them is reprehensible. And I just want to apologize to you for flying off the handle, because even for me, that was flying off the handle. Well, and to the listeners, who I know there's a lot of them that like it and think it's funny, and there's a lot of them that think we need to shut up and let everybody talk.
Some are actually concerned. They really think that we're going to go at it.
Yeah, which is never the case. Right. Even yesterday it wasn't the case. But I do want to this really has me upset, and I'm not handling it well.
They
made a comment to me when I went into the hub yesterday. They go, wow, you're really jacked up today. And I'm like, I'm just upset.
Well,
I'm really upset.
You know how we make fun of Jerry Callahan because he gets on these issues and, you know, goes out on a limb and, you know,
right.
defends, you know.
Things that right. would seem, in, you know, right. there is no other side.
Right. And there is no other side to this. But here, justice did not get served for so long.
Yeah.
And so many kids got really just had their lives taken away because of this. And still there are people defending, you know, Joe Paterno, and this other guy is still on the payroll. It's just like, you just can't get your head around
it. I get all wrapped up in it, and I get all upset. And then I finally say, okay, listen, you know, calm down. You know, I need, you know, they're handling it. And then I find out something. Like last night I'm watching TV, and I'm just clicking around, and the scroll comes up, and they keep continuously have that Paterno quote where he said he wished her. This is before he was fired.
Right.
This is before the Board of Trustees. That was kind of late that happened, the Board
yeah.
of Trustees.
Yeah.
So it kept saying that I plan to retire at the end of the season. In hindsight, I'd wish I had done more.
Right.
Why on earth do you need hindsight to
right.
tell you that child molestation is wrong? You were told that your ex-coach was raping a 10-year-old boy in the shower. Why do you need hindsight? And this, I got all worked up in a lather again.
And not only that, and you mentioned the rumor about the pimping out, there's another rumor that go away and we'll cover it up. There's another rumor that same guy, Madden.
Well, did you hear about the New York Times story about the, you know, back in, I don't know if it was 2002 or 98, the DA in Pennsylvania that was looking into this?
Yeah.
And he just disappeared?
Yeah.
They found his car at the side of the road. His laptop was gone. They haven't seen him since.
That's
like, this goes so much further than people even have an idea of. And to listen to some snot-nosed 20-year-old kid yesterday at a press conference, if that was my kid, I know we already talked about this, I would have been on a plane so fast I would have had that kid off of campus, and I would have had him strung up by his bootstraps, as they say in the old days.
Right.
I was just appalled
right.
that any rational, and that's an adult, He was an adult. Right. He's not a kid. Right. I mean, you got to understand, like a 12-year-old kid whose idol has just been crushed in front of him. You're a grown man. You're a 20-year-old guy. You're a college student.
It's just unfathomable that these kids would go out and do what they did. You know, either they didn't, know the facts, or they're just, you know, refusing to believe anything. But there's no defense. There's no reason to feel bad about Joe Paterno.
No,
at all.
No, because I actually think that you can call into question every single thing that he's done,
sure.
Every good thing that he's done. Because, listen, I'm going to tell you right off, I've never been a huge Joe Paterno fan, but I have been a believer in that the Joe Paterno was a good man.
Right.
I don't think that he was a fraud of a man before I learned this. Now
right.
I think he's a fraud of
right.
a man. Now everything he did in the past, to me, comes into question. Why did he build a library? Why is he doing all these things, these benevolent things for Penn State?
Right.
Quid pro quo. You know, I am just so disgusted with the whole thing. And again, I hope not to have another one today, because I'm just as worked up today as I was yesterday. But
well, we won't talk about Danny Woodhead then.
Yeah. Well, I will.
Some people are emailing about it.
No, I know. And I'm sure that they are. I mean, I haven't seen the emails, but I'm sure that every day we have one of those arguments, the next day sort of ends up being.
Yeah,
no. And I don't mind that. Like I said, I did it, so I deserve to be criticized for it. But I do want to apologize for dragging the last and I did try to stop it, by the way, and Andy wouldn't let it go. Last 20 minutes of the show.
Andy was threatening me yesterday. He said, I'm going to come in with all these stats, and I said I'd do the same thing. And then he called in sick this morning. I don't think he had a
I think it was
problem.
Related.
You think so?
Yeah.
It could be. Could be. Maybe he looked at the stats and they didn't work out for him. But anyway, no. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline down here in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. So we've got this big game against the Jets we have to talk about. You know, I think Andy did spell it out pretty well yesterday about why there's not a lot of all the factors point to the Jets winning this game. There's just no doubt about it. If you look at recent history, if you look at the current state of each team and the trajectory that each are going on right now, it's a tough one for the Patriots. It's a tough spot. But, you know, like you said, Paul, if they play a clean game, they've got a shot at winning this game. There's no doubt about it.
I believe that.
Yeah.
They have a chance to win the game. There's no doubt. But just out of a point of comparison, I think everything that we just said about this Jets game was true the other way the last time they met, right? The last time that when the Jets came here, all the signs pointed to the Patriots.
Right.
Patriots had just come off a nice road win in Oakland. The Jets were playing their third of three straight road games, had lost the first two, were decimated in Baltimore the week before.
Right.
Everything pointed to the Patriots. I'm just looking back at our picks. We all picked the Patriots. Eric and I picked the Jets with the points. It was 9.5.
Right.
And we ended up winning the cover. You and Andy picked the Patriots not only to win, but to cover the 9.5. So
right.
Universally, we were well on board with the Patriots in that game. I think it might be, you know, I don't think it'll be unanimous, but I think there might be some Jets picks this
in
week.
In the paper, everybody picked the Jets except Brian Lowe.
Right. Who's afraid to get on the bus.
Right. So, you know, oh, whatever. Let's get to some emails, webradiopages.com. Patty in Ireland says, the biggest disappointment of the year hasn't been Ocho or Fat Albert or Ellis. It's been Fred. Fred, you're supposed to convince us fans that the Patriots will win every game 72-3. Bring back the raping and pillaging. I know Edelman is doing his best with the groping, but it's not the same. You are the leader of Patriots Nation. Act like it. Andy, you better pray to God that Price doesn't play this year, because if he plays and sucks, all Patriots fans are going to be pissed at you. Big Head has everyone believing that Price will be Randy Moss circa 07. So if this kid can't play, Mr. Draft will lose all credibility. And Paul,
yes.
Why are you so happy Haynesworth is gone? Don't you realize that now you're the fattest, stupidest, laziest, and most useless person in the organization? Wow. You're lucky Ocho was sucking. That's taking the spotlight. Otherwise, you could be out of a job. Wow. That's
don't make me laugh. It makes me cough.
Pat, you know, Patty, I'm just letting down Patriots Nation. You know, what are you going to do? Simon from the UK says, Paul, don't apologize. We love you guys. This is PFW in progress. You guys are great. The cookie comment almost finished me off. Are there any UK Pats fans coming in after the Chiefs game, which is the UK Pats road trip game? I think there might be some guys stopping by for that game. I don't know if it's before or after, but I know there's a there's about 20 guys coming over for the Chiefs game.
Yeah, they always have a big group here. I don't know when. Cause it's a Monday night game. It would be hard for PFW in progress. I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know what the – I know there's something going on with them. So we'll be hearing from – oh, I just closed out my – by the way, I'm using Google Chrome.
What is that?
That's a browser. I don't use Internet Explorer anymore.
Why?
It's terrible.
Really?
It's just awful. If you switch to Google Chrome, it's so much better.
Now, what's better? Is it faster?
Oh, lightning fast.
Does it matter about your connection? It's just...
Well, I mean, your connection affects everything, but...
Well, I'm saying...
Assuming everything's the same...
It'll be faster.
Oh, yeah.
What about Firefox?
Firefox isn't bad, but that's slowing down, too, I hear, because they have all these plugins and stuff, and but... Google Chrome is lightning.
I got to get some of these people that I look at their blogs. They got to get their video off the blogs and all these ad. Now they have the video ads.
Yeah.
Which are further gumming up the works. I got to stop this.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tim in Pensacola is on the line. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Fred. It's Tim Pensacola. You honor us with your presence.
Thank you.
Let me say, I have a quick little game for you guys, or I guess it's a scenario, but first let me say this. Paul, me and you don't agree often, but you don't need to apologize for getting angry at what happened there. I was working on my paper, and I was bored, so I read through the indictment, and I was so distraught. I wasn't like screaming, yelling angry, but I was so distraught I couldn't even finish working on it, so I don't know what those idiots are doing on television cheering for the guy.
No, I appreciate that, Tim. I just meant, obviously we're all really distraught over what's happened there, but I let it affect the rest of my day, you know, to the point where I got in a silly argument that I was screaming at Fred about, because we disagreed on Danny Woodhead's production. So that's what I was apologizing for.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone can really, you know, see or hear what happened. Like I said, I couldn't even finish working on that paper I've been working on for a while because I was.
That's how I feel, man. I'm out of it. I'm completely
out of it. You just want to go down there and wring some necks.
I want to just slap some sense into some people.
Anyone that had any inkling that this went on should be gone. Just gone. You know, set aside, put in jail. Yeah. Which is where some of these guys should be.
And the thing that ticks me off the most is this saying, just don't bring the boys on campus. To me, that feels like they're saying, well, go molest them somewhere
else.
Right,
exactly.
We don't wanna hear, it's the three blind mice. That's what they wanted to be. Yeah. Or three blind mice or the monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Yeah. That's what they were acting like, and they should pay consequence. Sandusky's going to get his. Because I guess, you know...
Well, he's going to get his in prison.
That's what I mean. When you go to prison with that rap, you don't do well. You don't fare well. That's one thing that these guys don't put up with.
Yeah. So. Well, let me get to my scenario before I start, because I'm working on a paper today, and I don't want to get distracted again over it. But here's the scenario, and it actually ties in. It doesn't seem like it, but I'm going to tie it into this Jets game. There's this great receiver out there that they say is coming out, Blackman. Say, for instance, hell freezes over, we trade up and get him. Now, we know that he's a strong, fast, athletic receiver, and say we know in a regular offense he would be able to be a 1,700-yard receiver with 17 to 20 touchdowns. But in an option offense where he has to option every play, we know that he's going to be a 500-yard receiver with 5 to 6 touchdowns. Here's the scenario. Would you, A, keep the same offense we have now and make a variation for him, meaning that everyone else's play is an option play except his the route he starts with is the route he's going to finish. B, change the complete offense to fit him. C, trade him for another lesser player who fits the offense better. What would you do in those scenarios?
Well, it's a good question because, you know, no coach – you know, tries to put a square peg in a round hole. So, you know, you don't try to do stuff your personal can't do. But I get your question. Now you're bringing in somebody from the outside who does stuff that you guys don't do, but if you decide to do what he does, he's going to have huge production. It's a good question. I guess it all depends on how established your team is already. You know, if you really are established team and you're doing really well, and it's just a matter of plugging in a guy, maybe you don't bring him in. But if you're a young team with a young quarterback and you're building, you know, and you've done that option, like you said, in the past, but, you know, changing it wouldn't be that big a deal, then I think you would. It's a good question. I don't think any coach tries to fit the system to the player. They try to pick players that fit their system. So, you know, it's a tough one. I think it just depends on how established the team is.
Yeah, well, this is how it ties in, because I know a couple of days ago you guys were talking and said, well, maybe some of them can't pick the option, and because every receiver has an option on every play, and I think we should keep this offense. This is a great offense, but what I'm wondering is maybe for someone like an Ocho or a Price, everyone else's play is an option play, and I'm just asking you if it would work, because I legitimately don't know, but with the exception, you tell Brady, okay, Brady, Price's play is not an option play, or Ocho's play is not an option play. The route they start with is the route they'll finish, so that way Brady will always know where it is. It might not be ideal because they might not be able to make an adjustment in the middle of the play, but you're keeping the option for everyone else, and it's just there. And I'll let you go, but I just want to know, do you guys think that would work?
It doesn't sound like it would, Tim. I don't know enough about the intricacies of their system to know whether some guys could be operating under one set of parameters and others, you know, a different set. But that seems to me to be a recipe for confusion, don't you think?
But, you know, is it just me or does anyone else think that this whole option to the receiver thing is a little bit overblown?
Oh, God, yes.
That doesn't happen all the time. It's just on some of the plays.
I don't necessarily think it's not something that happens all the time. I just don't think it's as hard as it's being made out to be. There's too many guys that have come in here with average ability that have been able to do it.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys.
All right. Tim has to go.
I think, in other words, Fred, you know, we'll go case by case. I don't think Joey Galloway had any intentions of learning it. I don't think he tried to learn it. That was his problem. Chad Ochocinco, I think his biggest problem is physical.
Yep.
He's not the physically gifted guy that he was. You know,
there
are guys that come in here and they get it, and some guys that don't get it. But I think to just say, well, it's too complicated. This guy couldn't get it. It's too complicated. I don't think it's – I think Ochocinco has an idea of what he's doing now on the field. I don't think he's open as often as probably the Patriots thought he would be.
I think there are some plays that where this option really comes into play. You know, especially in the middle of the field and guys like Welker. But I think a lot of the routes are, hey, 7 yards and it's out because I need to hit you. You know, I want to hit you by the sideline. There's no option there. Either the guy's open or he's not. And then
where the option comes is based on, you know, when they break the huddle, he can either run a 7 yard out or a 7 yard curl or a 7 yard dig or whatever. But based on the coverage, he has to determine which one it's going to be.
But all of that, but then the route becomes the route, you know. So then Brady sees what he's doing. And, you know, decides whether or not he wants to throw to him. But it's not like midstream a guy is changing things and now Brady doesn't know where to throw the ball. It's not that sophisticated. You know, it's still football.
No,
I
agree with your larger point. But on the individual play that we're talking about, if Brady looks at the coverage and says he has to run a 7 yard out, and Ocho looks at the coverage and says I'm running a 7 yard curl, Brady's throwing the ball to the 7 yard out.
Well,
you know, one of them might be wrong. I don't, you know, it might not necessarily be Brady's in the right. I'm going to err on his side because of his experience, but that's where it becomes an issue, not necessarily how complicated it is.
But don't you think that in Brady's pre-snap read and the signals that he's yelling out what he thinks the coverage is, so then the guys know which route to run?
At times, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, what I'm saying is I don't think that every time the ball snap, these guys are making, you know, decisions right then and there. I think most of the time Brady and the receiver know what each one is doing or should.
You may be right. I think there is a little bit more decision-making at the line pre-snap than you think.
Right. Well, Anyway, but I think there's a communication system in place so that we know or the players know what that decision
but
should
Brady's
be.
But Brady's not telling five different guys what to do. As he's barking out signals.
No, but when it, his signal includes the coverage, doesn't it?
Maybe, but yeah. What happens when the coverage changes at the snap? That's what I'm saying. Well, okay. They have to make adjustments.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it's as easy as you're making it out, although I do agree with you that I think it's overrated, if that makes sense.
Let's see. I just wanted to get you into an argument. Tony says, Paul, I live in Canada, and I'm not totally up to speed on U.S. college football. But I was watching all these kids on TV last night and thinking to myself, am I missing something here? Didn't this guy cover up a massive child molestation scandal? Sometimes I see things and think, I must not have all the facts. All of these people cannot possibly be that disgusting and moronic to support this POS. Am I missing something? You're really not. It's those kids that are missing something. They're the ones that are missing the facts or refusing to, you know, read or listen to the facts. They're the ones missing something, not you, Tony. So,
absolutely.
Know, I think a lot of these kids, and I know one of them because, you know, I live in a town. I know a kid that is in Penn State right now. A lot of them went because of the aura of Penn State. And let's face it, if you're an athlete, that aura was Penn State football.
Right.
You're not going for the Penn State volleyball team. That could be really good. I don't know.
They win the national title every year. It's funny that you happen to bring that one up, but you're absolutely right. Joe Paterno. And that football program is Penn State.
Right. And you know, I understand why a kid would want to go to, you know, a kid that wants to go to a big school would choose Penn State because it's cool to have that Saturday tradition and, you know, we are Penn State and all that stuff. And, you know, I can understand that. But at some point, you got to just admit and reconcile to the facts, you know, to what the facts are. And these kids are not doing that, and it's just like Paul said. My wife said the same thing. If I saw my kid out there doing that, I'd pull his ass out of there so fast, you know.
Like the whole thing that happened is despicable enough, but like I said, you know, tragedies happen in this world. Unfortunately, these, you know, there are bad people that do bad things, but it's how you react to it that I think identifies you and. Joe Paterno had an opportunity to do the right thing. He didn't. Okay, he dropped the ball. He screwed up. But now it's 15 years later, and he's making comments like, in hindsight, I wish I had done more?
Right.
What, in hindsight, I wish I had said child molestation is wrong?
Right. How can you – there's only one thing to do in that situation.
That's the thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he had said yesterday, I made a mistake, and in doing so, I put – countless other children in danger, and for that I regret it, and I'll live with that the rest. That to me is an apology. That's remorse. To say in hindsight I wish I had done more is saying I wish I didn't get caught.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
Yep.
I wish that I covered this up a little bit better and I got away with it. That's what he's saying.
Yep. Oh, God. All right. Web radio.
I'm getting there again, Freddie.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. It's 2:33, 2:34 now, so we have to take a break.
And it has been a week since we've taken our last break.
We'll be right back.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Drawing
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new bakery-fresh chicken and tuna salad sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of that
really,
game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
But they take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child. I can't help it.
I got it, too.
No, you
didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts...
Jesus.
Well, the end zones were sided.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398.
That was one of your best ones.
Is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Because I don't think you planned that.
I could feel it coming.
Yeah, you started it, and then you were like, oh, I know where I can go
right,
with this.
Right, exactly, Paul. Webradio at patriots.com. I want to get to this email. It's a little long, but Jason and Chiba writes his mid-season superlatives. So we should do that, because if I wait too long, we won't have time, because we'll be going around the NFL. So he says, hi, Cork Soakers. You guessed it, Angry Jason back for another round of superlatives, the best, worst, most, and least from the first half of the season. Light 'em up, fellas. Biggest loser, my wife, marries me 6 months before finding out what I'd be like during a football season when I could actually watch the games. It's kind of like buying stock in Enron in late 2000. Biggest winner, me. Being able to watch games this season, rewatch them at my convenience in HD over the internet. Wow. My coworker suggested that we go halves on the NFL package, and it has worked out well for me, not to mention that I wrote my girlfriend into marriage in the spring before she could find out what a douche I am when I watch sports. It's kind of like investing in Microsoft in 1986. The Who Got Told Award for Best Verbal Smackdown, 85's basketball wife or whatever, Evelyn, that was hilarious. You know, Ocho Cinco's wife or girlfriend really gives him a hard time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sada, see above and how true her comments were. Most obvious, the Tebow controversy. Who in America didn't see this coming? And yet we still have to argue about it for hours on PFW. I personally think that Tebow's only real special ability is to keep people talking about him. Most unwarranted. Speaking from the Week 9 perspective, the Pats fall from grace in the eyes of Pats fans. Now, I know I have a tendency to be mean when people are down, and I'm as emotional about our games as anyone, but there has been a ton of overreaction to the Giants game. Bench Brady? Really? How can it be possible that anyone thinks we wouldn't be worse without Brady? I generally take all my cues from my guy Paul, so it's time to come out and say it. Yes, Paul, the fans are stupid.
Thank you, Jason.
Biggest turnaround. This is hard for me to say, but Devin McCourty's career. Last year, we thought we might have the second coming of whoever, someone destined to take a huge contract when his rookie year was done. Now, he's the worst number one corner in the league until he, as the other players always seem to say, shows improvement. I'm hoping, by the way, that in my season end superlatives email, I'm talking about him in the same spot going the other way. Most prophetic. The category has stopped being so relevant for one specific reason. Andy seems to take both sides of every prediction. You guys know what I mean. No, screw you, Lollipop. He's the offense was great last season, and most of the pieces are back and could be better than last year when it suits one point, and then, hey, the Jets shut you out down in the postseason. You got to be worried about what we're going to see from them. Giving him credit for his predictions is like giving
him
credit.
That's an excellent point right there.
Giving him credit for his predictions is like giving him credit for knowing that Eric with a K is going to be by later. Let's see. That is what I was going to write until I heard Fred say that they should cut Haynesworth this morning. Why aren't you guys telling us about your information sources? Most inappropriate.
What information sources?
I don't know. We just
we fly off the top of, you know, by the seat of our pants, we let it fly.
No, but we talked. I mean, the Peppers thing was out there. You know, we talked.
Oh, the Pepper Johnson thing?
Yeah.
You mean?
I mean, that's why we were saying.
Well, that happened during the game, but right. Yeah. No, yeah. We watched what happened and thought that could.
Right.
Could be the result.
Right.
Yeah. But to me, it came down to he's done nothing for eight games.
Most inappropriate. Vince Wilfork saying, it's like I always say. It's not only do you not always say anything, Vince, it's not like you're the Dalai Lama. Who the hell cares what you always say? I mean, can you imagine Vince Wilfork, purveyor of ancient wisdom? Come on. Come all hear what the great master has to say. Okay. Let's see. Best break. This is getting to come off as blind
homerism. Well, we never get to hear what he has to say after a loss.
Right. Best break. This is going to come off as blind homerism, but actually losing a little early in the season is going to turn out well for us, I think. Streak snapping, invincibility shattered. We've come back down to earth, so to speak. Well, I hope it works well for us. Why would you say something so horribly negative, Andy? Why must you always go out of your way to destroy hopefulness in others? I think he's assuming that Andy is saying.
But you know what's funny?
Yeah.
He really is targeting Andy properly. I mean, this is exactly what Andy would be doing if he was here.
Sure. Honorable mention, not having Fred show up in amateur porn online this year was the favorite in the pool I'm in. I'm just grateful for small miracles. That's kind of weird. Worst break.
You weren't here that day.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to some good ones. Let's see. He says best caller was Dan and Harriet.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Tremendous.
Best emailer. He wants to know where Ken Walter has gone. But James is always funny, and at least he's interesting in person, so I guess I'll go with him. Best audio emailer. Category doesn't exist because no one does it anymore. Best show moment. This was going to be a hard category to fill until today's hour and 15-minute argument about Danny Woodhead. I heard the whole thing, and I have no idea how on earth you argued about him for that long.
I don't either. That's a great point.
He says, that said, I'll give you my opinion. No one is fooled by Danny anymore. I think they stopped being fooled by him sometime last year, and his production dropped off to the point that he was a ghost in the playoff game despite having the ball forced to him over and over. That's it, essentially. As the offense goes, so goes Danny. We figured out these past few weeks he's been figured out this season. Best show moment was bringing back Cork Soakers. And show MVP, Paul and Andy share it for the Jets Blue Patriots pregame social.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
So I shortened that a little, but
it's the Jet Blue Patriots pregame social. Kevin, why don't you make fun of him when he says Jets Blue? Because he's the boss? I see how you roll.
Did I say Jets Blue?
That's exactly what I say every week.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Anthony is Naples. Anthony in Naples is on the line. Hey, Anthony.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, we're just doing a radio show here down in Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean it literally. It's like, hey, how you doing? You know?
Oh.
I know what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
But I have two things non-football related. I have a complaint about the app, the Patriots app, Fred. So I figured I'd talk to you directly.
Okay.
It's actually very frustrating. Before the update, you know, you'd be able to fast forward it and, you know, just have the controls. It'd go right to it. Now, the way the app works, apparently I have to go when my screen is locked, double tap that, and then my controls will come up. That's very frustrating, very inconvenient.
No, but that's better, though, because now it helps you with the backgrounding. We found that people were having a hard time stopping the audio, you know, so now you can use your iPod controls.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the app just ran smoother a lot, like, before. Now it just cuts in and out. I don't know. It's not the same. I just felt like it was better before. But, you know, that's just my complaint. You can take it for what it's worth, I guess.
Well, more importantly, Anthony, what is the complaint of the day?
Complaint of the day?
Yeah.
I really didn't get into it yesterday because, you know, Fred hung up on me, but that's fine.
I know.
You know, he's quick to get me off. But but anyway.
Save that one, Renee.
Yeah. But, you know, it's pretty sad to say, but not that I'm giving up on the Patriots, but I just have no more expectations.
Yeah. This is going to sound like a dumb question, but do you feel any better about that? I mean, not necessarily. I mean, obviously, it's great to have the best team and know it, like we did, you know, in 04 and, you know, in 07. But, you're almost like unburdened by those expectations where you can just kind of watch the games and you're a little bit more relaxed and, you know.
Well, I have to.
Does that make any sense?
I have to admit, I'm just basically going back to an old way of thinking because this is prior 1991, 92, whenever Parcells got on.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far back.
Oh, no, I'm going that far.
No, what I'm saying is it's like, you know, the late 90s when Bledsoe was here. We knew they were a good team. We knew they were a playoff team. We didn't know if they were the best team. And every week you didn't know if they were going to win or lose.
Yeah,
but, you know, they're not a 1-15 team.
But this is tough for Patriots fans because for so long we've been, like, on that top of the heap where we could, like, kind of look down on everyone. Now we're back in the mix. Now we have to, you know, fight it out on the street with other people. We're not used to this.
But the thing is that sometimes it gets so frustrating with fans because it's just like, it's the end all and be all with Bill. And it's just like, you know what, guys, you got to think about it. Chuck Knoll came to an end when you think about it, you know, in Pittsburgh. You know, he wasn't the greatest towards the end. And, you know, all these teams, and especially watching that thing the other night, you know, A Football Life with the Cowboys. My goodness.
Tom Landry?
Yes, Tom Landry.
That was tremendous.
Yeah, that was tremendous. And it just showed you, you know, there is a cycle. Sometimes the game does pass you by.
It's funny, Anthony. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the same exact thing as I was watching it.
You know, and it's just like, you think about it, like, for a Cowboys fan, how that must have felt. You know, that was football to them. And I hate it, like, that people put him on this pedestal. Guys, he's been here for 12 years, you know. So maybe we're getting to that point where you have to move on. I'm not saying it's not fixable. But my thing is that these last, and especially for me, I felt like, especially with Teddy Bruschi's stroke, to me, that was a moment in which I'm like, all right, they have to go linebacker. Instead, they get those Shoemakers, Beisel, and, you know, Brown. And I'm like, I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm like, what is he doing in this draft? You know? And then it was the next year. I felt myself asking those same questions again. What are they doing in this draft? And the next year after that, and I can go on until now. You know, it's like, it's just frustrating. And luckily, I'm just an NFL fan. So, you know what I mean? I can watch the other 15 games, you know what I mean, and be fine with it and see the other matchup. I'm just disappointed that Brady's window got wasted. You know, he is 35 years old. He only has probably 3, maybe 4 more years left at the top of his game.
But
the way I... What's that?
Well, the only thing I was going to say about that, Anthony, and I agree, you know, I agree a lot with this call. How many Super Bowls did you expect him to win?
But come on, Paul. You know that, you know, I just feel like it's been wasted a couple of years. You know what? Oh, wait. Oh, well, he got hurt. But you know what? I just feel like they didn't maximize the potential. And I mean everything from drafting, from getting potential coaches, you know what I mean, that would make you a better squad instead of just promote from within.
I know, but Anthony, they screwed up on some personnel moves, both free agent and draft. But so what's the excuse for all the other teams that haven't won the Super Bowl?
But my thing is, Fred, everybody thinks that Bill has the only way and the best
way to
win the Super Bowl.
No, he doesn't. That's my point. That's my point.
A lot of those other teams' excuses to back up Anthony here is they don't have Tom Brady.
Well, that
exactly.
Well, okay, but you know, I just think that it's really, really hard to do what the Patriots have been doing for the last 10 years, which is consistently win your division, get in the playoffs.
But let's just say for an example,
and it's that much more hard to win as many championships as we all expect here.
How many championships do you think Baltimore would have won in the last 5 or 6 years if Brady was their quarterback, or Manning was their quarterback, or Rodgers was their quarterback?
I still think it's hard. I mean, you know, okay, so is Aaron Rodgers going to win every other year from now on?
I mean, well, that's part of what I said to Anthony on the other side of it is that. They have won 3 and been to a 4th. You know, like Anthony said, that he got hurt in 08, so no blame there. I think that was a team that potentially could have been very good. I think 09, I don't necessarily think it was bad moves as much as it was that he had a hard time getting to those guys. In 2010, I don't think that team, I think they got worse. And that was because of bad decisions.
But it's about the defense.
He hasn't been able to fix what has been pretty evident, and that is that their defense isn't good enough, and he hasn't been able to fix it.
But do you know what I mean, Paul?
Yeah, I do. I do. I understand what you're saying.
In 2005, those linebackers, there was already questions with the linebackers. You know what I mean? There was already that question like, well, they're getting a little old in the tooth. Maybe we should start addressing this and getting younger. But instead, Bill passes on everybody. David Harris was available.
Yeah, listen.
You know what I mean?
Listen, I had that draft, and I had David Harris was one of my picks. And, you know, we had an opportunity to get him. I would have loved him. And I hear people like Michael Lombardi talk about how those players aren't necessary in the NFL anymore because these guys that don't play, that's a bunch of crap. There's always going to be room for a reasonably athletic inside linebacker. I mean, Brandon Spikes, you guys know I'm not a huge fan of Brandon Spikes. You're seeing that he has the ability to do some things. He played every down the other day. He didn't come off the field on third downs, and he's played a little bit better the last couple of weeks. If you can play, there's a spot for you in this league.
Even though it's a
pass first league and all that stuff, you have the ability to do things. And David Harris can still play. Bart Scott can still play. There's plenty of guys around the league that can do this stuff, and I think we tend to overlook some of that stuff sometimes because it's a, you know, quote unquote a passing league.
No, there's no doubt. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Anthony. I agree with, you know, again, I think they've made a lot of mistakes, particularly in the defense, and it's almost like they have to approach the next season where we don't have our foundation. You know, maybe, you know, in truth, Mayo and Wilfork is a foundation, but they have to approach it like they don't. And if Mayo and Wilfork like to play a certain style of defense, well, too bad, because we just need to start getting the best players in here we can possibly get and forget about the system and just start getting some athletes in here, perhaps, you know, because they have been kind of, you know, treading water for a while when it comes to this defense. And I can remember, I'm trying to think if it was 06, where, you know, it was the last press conference of the year that Bill Belichick had, and he just, you know, he never comes right out and says it, but he intimated that they need to get faster and younger on defense. I remember that. It was in the media workroom, and so...
It was after one of the seasons. It might have been after 06.
Yeah.
You might be right.
We need to get younger and
faster. Younger and faster, and they've gotten younger and probably faster, but not better.
Not better.
Because they haven't picked the right
guys.
But
that showed... That was telling me at the time that they believe that they need to start rebuilding this defense.
That's why I thought it was curious this season what they did. Because I thought last year, for all the shortcomings of the defense last year, I could hang my hat on a nucleus of 8 or 10 guys that were going to be among your 15 defensive players going forward that were in their, you know, second, third year. And now I think he's intentionally taken a handful of those guys off the field in favor of veterans that I don't think are part of the solution.
Yep.
You know, and I thought it was curious. Now, it appeared to me to be an opportunity to maybe load up in a lockout year if I can be ready to go coming out.
That's what we all thought.
But they haven't worked.
Nope.
With the exception of Andre Carter.
Nope. Chris with a TIAN. Christian, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to let Paul know that there's definitely no need to apologize.
I still didn't like what I did at the end of the show.
You shouldn't have fired off the handle and all that, but
yeah.
Just listen.
I appreciate it, though, and I appreciate those of you who are sending me stuff to my Facebook page, Tracy. I appreciate that as well. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, aside from the whole thing, just sickening. I mean, it's absolutely sickening, and, you know... decent human beings, and to see another human being suffer like that and not do anything is just beyond me. It's absolutely beyond me.
Yeah, we got to protect our kids.
This isn't about having kids, not having kids. I don't have kids. This is about a person and a human being and seeing something that you know is wrong or knowing of something that was being done and you do nothing about it. That's what we define as a coward.
Yep.
That's a coward, and that's the, as far as I'm concerned, in a situation like that, that's the lowest form of humanity.
Yep.
And you're guilty is doing it if you don't say anything.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what it really comes down to. So, I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. I totally agree with you. Totally, totally agree with you guys.
Yep.
All right, now that I've entered, I got that off my chest. I actually feel pretty good.
Okay.
Sunday night.
What are you doing over there, Christian?
What are we looking at? I'm just getting back into my office. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I was just outside. It's pouring rain.
It's a little rainy. Is that tough for you?
It's, today was, I'm doing mostly office work, but yeah, I never work outside in the rain, but the commute was a little rough thing because I take the train. Sunday night, do we get back to running the ball and imposing our will and trying to run against this Jet team,
you know,
we had the first meeting, or no?
It's funny you say that because I was, you know, this is how crazy I am. I'm thinking about how we're going to beat the Jets today while I'm shaving. And I'm thinking to myself,
something wrong with that, Freddie.
I think we got to run the ball. I think we
absolutely agree.
I think we have to run the ball in this game.
But they have to run it effectively.
Well, yeah.
Because I think they tried to run the ball on Sunday, and they didn't do it well.
Yeah.
Well, what did they run it, almost 30 times?
24. 24 times on Sunday.
Yeah.
And what happens is numbers get dropped a little bit when you're not successful. You know, look at the Pittsburgh numbers. Everybody says, well, geez, you only gave Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis 9 carries or 5 carries for 9 yards. Well, they were only on the field for 19 minutes. The opportunities to do other things weren't there. When you're not getting first down, it sounds so simplistic when the coaches say it and when Brady says it, but when you're not converting third down, that takes plays away. It keeps you out of a rhythm and it keeps points off the board. That's obvious, but instead of having a 12-play drive, you had a 3-play drive,
right?
Because you didn't get the third down conversion.
Yep.
They got to run the ball. I know Rex is going to be, he's going to look at it and say, they're not going to do that again. I'm keeping my sub packages on the field because I can't allow myself to get torched by Brady. So you got to do what you did last time, and you got to run it down their throat when they want to do that.
That's right.
Yep. All
right,
Chris.
All right, guys.
All right, Christian. Thanks for the call. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. CA's ticket hotline. Phil says, yesterday was the first time I tuned into the show, and I have said I loved it. The passion.
Even yesterday?
The passion in the discussions was great to hear, and I certainly didn't think anything untoward about them. I appreciate your insight into the Patriots and will definitely be a regular listener in the future. So that's Phil writing in.
Thank you, Phil, and thanks for giving us a try.
Russ in England. Hey,
we're not always yelling at each other. Just seems like that.
Hey, Fred, just a quick tip for Paul and anyone else struggling with video ads on the Internet. I use Firefox, but I know this type of add-on is available for Safari and other browsers. Search for an add-on called Flash Blocker. It replaces any Flash player, the platform that allows websites to host video or audio players, with an icon that you have to click to activate to play. This stops any video advertisements automatically playing and makes browsing much faster. Okay. That's a good tip.
Thank you. What's that called?
I forget. No, oh, okay. It's called Flash Blocker.
Flash Blocker.
Let's see. Ross writes in. What does he have to say? Robert Kraft at College Games. First of all, he says, Paul, there's no need to apologize. We are all disturbed by what has happened at Penn State. I wanted to change the topic from all the gloom and doom. There were reports that Robert Kraft had attended the LSU-Alabama game, and I know he regularly attends games. Has the theory that he attends certain games because the Pats are interested in certain players been debunked? The reason I ask is there are a number of Alabama defensive players I'm really interested in. They have the two linebackers, Upshaw and Hightower, who would look mighty fine in a Patriots uniform. The kid Barron, who plays safety, is a ball hawk who would complement Chung perfectly. Finally, even Dre Kirkpatrick looks like the real deal, not that I can face another cornerback selection. Any thoughts, or am I grasping at straws? Geez, I heard the reason he attends these college games is to look for the next coach. But
the players you mentioned are all excellent.
Yeah, and they said going into that game that there was like
There's a lot of pros.
Yeah, pros in that game.
On the other side, there's one athletic corner after another being paraded out for LSU. I love all the guys you mentioned. That's not why Robert Kraft is going to college games. He's not scouting.
He loves it.
He likes it. I think he likes the idea of it. I know he brought his grandson Harry to this one.
Yep.
I think he likes the idea of being able to expose, his extended family to that stuff, which is wonderful. But I agree with you. If there's anything professional about it, it has to be on the coach's side.
Right.
I don't think that's why he was at this game.
No, he just loves it.
I think he just really likes it.
He tries to take in, and he has some tie to Alabama, not Nick Saban necessarily, but I think the school and the governor, I think they went like duck hunting with him once or something. Anyway, there's a tie to Alabama. There might also be one to LSU, I'm not sure, but I saw him after.
Where do you come from?
After the game, and I said, what?
Duck hunting or something?
He did something like that. With guns, and I said, "Gee, I saw you at that LSU LB." He goes, "Oh, I love that! It's just great."
Yeah, no, you know, and it is his second LSU game of the year too.
Yeah,
because he was at the LSU West Virginia game, I think.
And hell, if I could jump on a plane and bring my grandson to the one versus number two,
I was joking around with you.
I'd do it too.
I was joking around with you when we found out that he was going. We knew a couple of days before that he was planning on going. My grandfather used to take us to games all the time. He used to take us to Red Sox games. And my brother and I would either go together, or if he only had two tickets, we'd switch. And I thought, we just thought it was the greatest thing. I mean, like, the sun rose and set on my grandfather. I mean, I just thought he was the most wonderful guy in the world, you know? But can you imagine? Well, hey, let's get in the private jet and go down to Alabama, LSU. And we don't have to be bothered with, you know, the people. We'll get sideline passes. Well, we'll watch the game from the sideline.
I'll tell you a story. I think it was my second year. It was the year that UMass went to the Final Four in basketball.
96?
96. So it was my second year here. And I was working. This is when our offices were in Boston. I was working on a Saturday. And we had this charity thing we did at Boston Gardens, a three-point shooting contest. I did it with Jonathan Kraft and Dan Kraft. The three of us were like a team. So we did that. And then I went back to the office to work, and I was still in my, you know, sweats and everything doing work. And I get a call, and it's Robert Kraft. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm working. He goes, do you want to go to the Final Four? I'm like, what? He's like, we're on our way. You want to come? I'm like, yeah. He said, I go, well, I'm in sweats. He goes, don't worry about it. They pick me up at the office. We go on their jet plane.
I never heard this story.
Yeah, we go down. Bulger was the president at the time.
Yeah.
He had a pre-party. We went to that. Everyone's wearing suits and ties. I'm in my sweats. And we saw the two Final Four games in New Jersey. That's where the game
was. That's right. They were in New Jersey.
So we're flying back. And so he says to me, he goes, so did you like that? I go, I feel like a kid in F.A.L. Schwartz. And they just said, pick out anything you want. But that was like, you know, you're working on Saturday, it pays off. So
you never told me that you went to that Final Four. No.
Yeah. I sat literally.
With all the stupid stories you tell me 27 times.
I'm here at 4:30 every day. Nobody ever.
I literally.
What's in it for me? That's all he's about.
I literally sat in front of the governor of New Jersey at the time.
Is that Christy Whitman?
The woman. Yeah. That was something. That was great. So UMass lost, though.
It was a good game, though.
Yeah, it was.
Remember Padilla's older brother came off the bench and sparked him late,
right?
And he barely played.
Yep. So, yeah, that was you know, my story.
That was a good team. That was one of the best teams money could buy.
Yeah. Marcus Camby.
Yeah.
Yep.
Too bad they exceeded the salary cap.
Alex in Philly writes in webradio@patriots.com, I want to say that the fight between Paul and Fred was epic. Fred making fat jokes, Paul calling Fred a liar and telling him to stick it up as you know what. Freaking awesome. I downloaded the podcast yesterday, and my God, I could feel the tension in the room to the point where I could visualize Fred and Paul's faces getting red, veins bursting out of their heads, and the anger and frustration built to a point where I thought one of you was just one yo mama joke away from throwing a punch. If this is how we act after two straight losses, I shudder to think what Paul and Fred might do to each other if we lose Sunday. Anyway, to throw my two cents on the debate, I agree with Paul and Andy. Woodhead's production has dropped significantly since last year, and while he may not be getting as many opportunities as he did before, he's still getting the same type of opportunities he has always gotten and has been ineffective all season. And to say that it is not his fault and that he was just the beneficiary of certain situations last year makes me believe Fred was never high on Woodhead to begin with and that he thought that Woodhead was just a one-year wonder. Then Fred made a hypocritical statement by saying what's happening with McCourty is his fault. Really, Fred? While I agree with you about McCourty, couldn't you make the argument that McCourty was the beneficiary of certain situations last year also, and that the reason why he has been so ineffective this year is because he just may not be as good as he looked last year, much like Woodhead? It's okay to admit you never thought much of Woodhead and didn't expect him to be a factor this year. Just don't lie and say that you didn't.
Oh, you're going to get mad?
Again, you know.
Using that word.
You know, if someone disagrees with me, I'm a liar. To move on to the Jets, I am emotionally prepared to lose this game.
Wow.
Our defense stinks, and that stench is rubbing off on the offense as they get progressively worse with each passing week. We have no talent, no depth in our secondary, and other than a miracle, I don't see that getting any better. I still hold out hope that we will beat the Jets on Sunday, but unless something changes, I am not confident that we will. All right, keep up the good work and go Pats. Well, I don't know where they're going, according to this guy. Not much chance. But I understand. I understand why people are worried about this game. There's a lot to be worried about, you know? It's just a matter of, you know, who do you think the Patriots are? Will they continue to make these mistakes? Or will they get up for this game because they realize how important it is? And you know, getting rid of Haynesworth. See, I'm pinning a lot of my hope this week on the fact that they got rid of Haynesworth, that it's one of those things in the locker room that's a really rallying moment. You know, like we talked about earlier.
I think that's what Bill's banking on.
Yeah, this isn't the same when they got rid of Lawyer Malloy or Richard Seymour.
Oh, no.
Those guys were loved and respected and had deep relationships with a lot of their teammates. I don't think Albert Haynesworth did. And, you know, I think that if anything, the guys that are left in this locker room maybe agreed with the move and kind of respect Belichick for making the move. And, you know, a guy like Dedrick or Kyle Love, you know, this has to be a kind of an affirmation to what you've been doing all year, because, you know, you're looking at yourself saying, man, I'm working my ass off and this guy's being coddled. Well, that guy's gone now and you're still here. So that's, you know, let that be a lesson to you. Travis in Tennessee, thanks for reading my email Tuesday and at least saying my name yesterday before Paul rudely interrupted you to start a 55-minute debate about Woodhead, which was reminiscent of the Haynesworth energetic high motor player debate.
Sorry, Travis. I do apologize for that.
Love the show, especially Jets Week, so I can get my F the Jets fix. PFW in Progress and the pregame show are the only places I can get great Patriots information and a good laugh. I even got my wife hooked, even though she's a Colts fan. See, that's, you gotta love that.
Too bad the Colts lost Peyton, because that would be great for them, listening on Colts Week.
I know. One of the things that's been concerning me, and I wanted to get your thoughts on, is our clock management. In the Steelers game, it was the lack of hurry-up offense in the second half when we were down by 10, needing two scores with 7 minutes left, and all the Steelers' drives had been 7-plus minutes. In the Giants game during our last drive, I was having flashbacks of the unspoken game. I wanted a touchdown as much as anyone and had no doubt we could get one, but on the 4th and 10 play, I was hoping to get a first down at the 2 or 3 to run off more time off the clock before we scored.
I understand what your point is on that last one. I think in Pittsburgh they did go hurry up on that last scoring drive. They certainly did on the goal line.
Well, the problem with Pittsburgh, though, I mean, all game was
the Pittsburgh offense.
Pittsburgh defense was playing really well, and if you do hurry up, you're just giving them more time to get back on the field.
Yeah, no, I meant that last drive when they were down 10 in the fourth quarter. They were certainly hurrying up at the end of that drive, if they weren't the whole drive. This Giants one, to me, and I understand what Travis's point is, ideally, the best thing to do would have been to get 8 yards in a first down and then use 3 more plays and score a touchdown, because that would have taken all the time out. But you can't do that.
You know, if it's there, you've got to take 6.
It was 4th and 8 from the 14.
Right.
You know, there's a chance, and I think it would have been a terrible call before anybody jumps on me, but there's a chance that even that play could have been offensive pass interference. Yeah. It kind of pushed off.
Well, the guy, as soon as Gronkowski,
yeah, he was complaining
ball,
for
was
it, but that's
pissed.
What they do. Yeah. I mean, every single time there's an incomplete pass, the receiver looks for a flag,
right.
And every time there's a completed pass, the defensive back claims he was pushed off.
Or it got hurt.
Yeah. By the way, did you happen to see Revis yesterday?
No.
Took full responsibility for that 73-yard play. That's on me, he said.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
do you remember the one?
Yeah, the Welker play.
It was clearly a blown coverage.
Right.
But he blew the coverage. He thought that the other guy had him, but he was supposed to have him.
Okay.
He said that's on me.
Look, Revis is...
That's all on me,
Revis,
I think he
may
said.
Be the best defensive player in the game today.
If he doesn't win Defensive Player of the Year this year, then there's something wrong with that.
Yemi from Texas. Over the summer, Paul said he wasn't worried about the Patriots lacking a deep threat. Do you want to change your mind, Paul? Fred and Paul, what is your solution to our offensive problems?
I did say that over the summer, and I think I was making a little bit more light of that than I needed to. You're right.
It's not even just deep.
See, it's too bad Andy wasn't here, because that would be a very instructive moment for Andy.
But see, it's not even just deep threat. It's
something
else.
It's a
guy that we thought Branch could be, where he could just get open on the sideline and open up the middle a little bit.
But to me, it is more than that, because right now the only way they stretch the field is with Gronk and Hernandez. And you can't stretch the field with tight ends.
Right.
You can't. So they need something to make teams play at least two deep. Right now, teams are playing cover one against the Patriots a lot.
They're bringing guys down and they're flooding the middle.
There's 10 guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage on a lot of plays. I'm not saying every play.
Yep.
But a lot of times, that's what they're doing. And it's harder to identify rushers in those kinds of positions because anybody is a potential blitzer when they're all as close to the ball as that.
Passing lanes are clogged up.
Yeah, and what is happening with the interceptions? There's been 10 picks, and I think I want to say 7 of them or 8 of them have been deflected.
Yep.
Now, some of them are bad throws that have been deflected by one defensive player to another. But that's what happens when you're around the line of scrimmage. There's more people in the way.
Right. Yemi also says, is Ridley just not that good? I can't believe that a player with that much speed can't get on the field for more than 5 snaps a day. You guys think Brady's elbow injury is much worse than we think. Something has to be wrong with him.
I hear a lot of people talking about that elbow injury suddenly.
I don't see velocity being the problem.
But I see accuracy being the problem.
But to me, that's not it's a mental thing.
Yeah. See, I can only go on personal experience here, and I know you'll make fun of me. Andy's not here, so it won't be too bad. But when I pitched,
here comes the Bledsoe reference.
No, when I pitched,
oh,
when I was tired, if my arm was sore and I was tired, it didn't necessarily. I mean, I didn't throw that hard to begin with, but it didn't show up in velocity. But I didn't have command. I didn't know. I didn't have the same control.
Well, sure.
That I would have.
But with a guy that does throw it fairly hard, I would think you would see.
I don't think so.
No,
because no matter what, you're throwing it as hard as you can.
Okay.
Like, even though I only threw the ball 85 miles an hour, it was as hard. I was topping out. That was as hard as I could throw.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I'm at less than 100%, but I'm still throwing around 85 miles an hour, but I can't throw it where I want, that's how it manifests itself.
Well, I sure hope it's not a physical thing, because that would be like almost every year now that there's something going on with him.
Right. Well, I mean, quarterbacks are going to get banged up. I think he's only had one significant injury in his career, and that was a torn ACL.
Well, the foot. I mean,
yeah, he played with it.
I know. But it might have.
It might have affected his mobility, just right. Like this elbow thing might be affecting his accuracy, but it's not something he can't play with.
Brandon from California is calling on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Brandon.
Oh, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Well, I got probably two things to say. I know one thing I'm going to get real disagreed on, and that's Chad Ochocinco. I actually think he's way better than what people put him as.
Why?
Like, you can't be talented and just lose your talent in one season.
Sure you can. First of all, he didn't have a good year last year, but you can lose it overnight, absolutely.
Well, in the Giants game, if you've seen it, like, he was open a lot when
once.
He was on the field.
He was open once.
I've seen about 4 times where he had the DB beat, and Brady just didn't hit him. Or he did throw to him, and it just... uncatchable.
Well, I'm just talking about the 5 that were thrown to him. He was open once.
Yeah, I heard there was another play where he might have been open. But a lot of times on TV, you kind of see the guy after the ball's thrown wide open. But by that time, the defensive guy that's covering him has already read the play, and he's dropped off. So it looks like he's wide open, but he really wasn't.
And the other part is, let's just say for argument's sake that he's been open and he should have twice as many catches as he does.
What is that?
It's still nothing. You're getting nothing out of him.
He's not on the field a lot, though, but, like, I'd rather have Ocho on the field than Pryor Hernandez. I mean,
really?
He's banged up.
Oh, now.
So, like, he have a lot more speed, and he could spread the field, like you were saying.
Oh, Brandon. Really? Come on.
Three wide out in the tight end, and then a running back, and that would be good.
Well, I'd like to see, look. Nobody wants to get Ocho involved more than me. I want to see this guy succeed.
Nah,
I think
Brandon does.
I think Patriots fans want to see Ochocinco succeed. But like I said a couple weeks ago, I've taken him off my radar. If he shows up and contributes, great. I'm thrilled, but I'm not counting on it anymore because it just ain't happening. You know, so I've got to move on mentally.
I think he still has that stage fright, though. He can't handle heaven, I guess.
Okay.
But then another thing with our DB, Sergio Brown, his pass interference, I knew it was coming from, like, the get-go before he even snapped the ball. He was at the line of scrimmage acting like he was going to blitz.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know you're supposed to, you know, disguise some stuff, but...
Right.
If you're playing prevent, why would you be at the line of scrimmage and you're a safety?
Well, I don't think they were playing prevent.
No, they can't play prevent because, remember, all the other team needed was 3 points.
Yeah,
so they could play prevent if they had to keep them out of the end zone, perhaps, but
they
weren't in a prevent defense.
No, they clearly weren't.
Well, I'm sure the safety of all people shouldn't be back trying to act like they're going to blitz, knowing our DBs can't cover one-on-one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I agree with you, though, that you saw that coming a mile away.
Yeah, it's called disguising a blitz. He didn't blitz. He was disguising a blitz. That's
part
of defense. What do you think? He was freelancing, doing it on his own?
But once he hiked the ball, he had to run all the way back.
Right.
And he was beat.
And he got beat. I mean, it was a physical play, not a mental play.
Well, so Brandon's saying he shouldn't have even been up by the line.
And I'm saying that that's rather far-fetched, that Sergio Brown would be freelancing in his one play in the game.
That was probably what he was told to do.
But I don't see why he was told to do that, because you see what happened.
Don't blame him then. Blame the coaching, because he would have been
all
doing,
the same. I'm going to blame him.
Well, the pass interference call was just ridiculous, and the fact that he said that he thought he was playing the ball, I don't know why he would say that.
Look back.
Yeah, you just got to do something. Whatever he did, just don't do that.
Yeah,
you know, that was just a clear cut call. All right, Brandon. Thanks,
Brandon.
Brandon from California. Let's go to Jeff in Vegas. It's Friday. It's Thursday, so Jeff is calling with his words of wisdom. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Hi, Jeff.
Pretty good, considering.
Yeah, as much as I like Andy Hart, it's kind of nice not having him here. It's like I can get a word in edgewise for once.
Absolutely.
I really want to start a show, not necessarily a radio show, maybe a TV show with him called The Sports Jerk. That it's, you know, it's all about Andy Hart, but it's called The Sports Jerk.
Yeah, you'd have no shortage of material to work with, certainly.
Right.
And, quick story for you, Fred, relating to your Saturday Bob Kraft going to the tournament story. And I know Kevin Collins, usually the saying goes the early bird gets the worm, but he's getting there at 4:30 in the morning and nothing really is developing for him.
Right.
But super quick story. I was working at as a stockbroker about 10 years ago, and one Christmas, I was just, you know, sort of arguing. You know how it is over the holidays. It gets a little bit stressful with now my ex-wife. So I'm like, what the heck? I'm going to go into the office on Christmas Day and make a few cold calls. You know, back then you're like a rookie financial advisor. So I pull in there, and there's one car in there. It would turn out to be my branch manager. So I went up there, you know, going to my office. Sure enough, the dude's working on Christmas Day. And, you know, I'm making my calls. It turns out, you know, I kept getting answering services. I was hoping I'd get some, like, business owners who are like, hey, man, you're working on a Saturday. I'll open an account. But, you know, I went to the restroom, and I saw that my boss, who at that time was, you know, he didn't even know my name. He's like, all right, man, now you're working on Christmas Day. I'll take you out to dinner next week. And that was the start of, like, a, you know, 15-year friendship that I, you know, still communicate with him to this day. So
yeah, so you never know. It's all about really being in the right place at the right time.
Exactly right. Speaking of which, I think Patriots Nation, I mean, come on, guys, this is the National Football League. There's way too much despair out there, in my opinion. I mean, it seems like the vast majority of Pats fans are, like, resigned to the fact that we have no chance on Sunday night.
Right. So tell us why that's not true.
Why isn't that true? Great question, Fred, because this is the National Football League. I mean, you had like, four underdogs who were literally given no chance at all last week win the game outright. I mean, you had Miami, you had the Bears against the Eagles. You know, you had the Denver Broncos.
Right.
I mean, come on. I mean, we're 2-point
absolutely
2-point underdog.
Wait, are we calling any of those three teams had no chance to win their games?
Well, a lot of people thought Denver wouldn't win a game.
No, no, no.
Tebow.
Yeah, no, but
I mean,
what
Seattle,
I'm saying
Seattle,
is you thought Oakland was going to win. I thought Oakland was going to win too. You picked Oakland, Fred.
Right.
But you didn't think Denver had a chance to beat Oakland? With Carson Palmer playing his first game?
Well,
come on.
The way he looked the week before, Paul. So all I'm saying is
look, the way Carson Palmer looked the week before. Yeah, three picks. And he threw three more. And that's why they lost. That's what, I'm saying is to say that they didn't have a chance. No one's saying the Patriots don't have a chance to win.
I mean Miami?
They opened up as a pick 'em, for God's sake. So Vegas,
exactly,
obviously that thinks they have a chance to win.
Paul, I saw a guy last Sunday at the sports book, a progressive bettor. He started with $100. He just doubled down every time. He had $10,000, and he put it all on the Kansas City Chiefs at home hosting the winless Miami Dolphins.
I'll give you that
Dolphins
one.
Dolphins blew him out, man.
I'll give you that one. I don't think many people thought Miami had a chance to win. But to put the Patriots in that category is insane.
Right. So
I mean, how many points were the Chiefs favored by?
4.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots open at a pick'em on the road on a two-game losing streak.
Right.
Paul, are you agreeing or disagreeing with me? You think? I think New England is going to – look, in this league, it comes down to how you play. The predictions are meaningless once the game starts.
Absolutely. And totally agree with you, Jeff. Totally agree with you.
Yeah, like Bill, Big Bill used to say, now Little Bill says, I mean, that rah-rah stuff wears off after 10 minutes, and it comes down to execution. So it comes down to the play. I mean, these tip passes getting intercepted, trust me, New England is going to come out Sunday night, and they're going to execute, and they're going to play great. And it doesn't matter about a bunch of scrubs in the defensive backfield, which is, again, horrifyingly scary to me, too. Trust me, guys, the Pats are going to come out sharp Sunday night.
And you seem to know things.
Why doesn't it matter about their players, then?
Because the execution and just the bounces and just the team coming out sharp. I mean, look at how the Eagles destroyed Dallas. Dallas looked absolutely pathetic 2 weeks ago.
And they looked absolutely pathetic last week.
The Eagles get destroyed by, you know, Jay Cutler. Looks like frickin' Aaron Rodgers.
I just think I think you're taking one. I mean, Dallas looked just as pathetic this week, squeaking by a very bad Seattle team at home.
They won by double figures. I mean, they didn't cover the 12. I'm saying it just sometimes you're just on in a particular night, and I have, you know, I've been running pretty good, as we know, and I just have a feeling that New England is going to come out firing.
Well, and I look at that game last year where the Patriots beat the Jets 45-3. That was no one expected that. That was crazy.
You're right.
That was an example of one team doing everything right and another team doing everything wrong. And giving up probably at some point, you know, those things happen. Absolutely. So it is unpredictable. It certainly is, you know.
Hey, look at Pete.
I just don't think there's people that are not giving the Patriots a chance to win this game.
I think. There's
That don't give him a chance.
Yeah, he says there's no way.
No, that's incorrect.
I just mean that the average Yahoo fan.
Mike Reese.
Give Miami a chance to win the Kansas City game. Jeff is right about that. Yeah. Miami people said, well, they're winless. They're going to Kansas City. Kansas City's hot. They've won, whatever, 3 in a row, 4 in a row.
Well, what about the Rams in New Orleans a couple weeks
that,
ago?
Yeah, that's an example of people don't give a team a chance. This one, I mean, they said they had a thing on ESPN yesterday, which team is going to show up, the good team or the bad team? Good Chiefs or the bad Chiefs?
Right.
Well, they did the Patriots. Good Patriots or bad Patriots? Mark Schlereth said good Patriots. Marcellus Wiley said bad Patriots. So it's divided. You know, there's no one that says, well, I don't see the Patriots going down in New Jersey and winning this game. They have just as much of a chance to win the game as the Jets do.
Right. So, and the question is, right now, we don't know who the Patriots are right now because they've shown both.
Well put.
And even Brady said it. You know,
interesting to see how we react.
Right. It's going to be interesting because he doesn't know. He, you know, this is not the same team as last year or 07 or 04. It's a completely different team. And, you know, for once, we have to listen to Bill Belichick when he tells us every year is different. And they're finding out
who they are. For the record, Kevin inside the booth doesn't think they have a chance. He raised his hand when I said nobody doesn't think they have
a chance.
That's
why when you come in at 4:30, nothing good happens. All right,
yeah,
Jeff.
Okay, guys. Have a good one.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff from Vegas.
We got a call while Jeff was on the line, Freddie.
Yeah.
It was our good friend Anthony in Naples.
Yeah.
Again?
He said that Jeff, after he's listened to him on the pregame social and on our show, that he sounds like this cartoon character called Snagglepuss. I had no idea who.
Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss
was
exit stage left, right? Isn't that the guy?
Yeah. Heavens to Betsy!
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. A little bit.
So exit stage left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big Snagglepuss fan.
Nah.
Man. Yeah.
Anyway, that was for Anthony.
That was a Saturday morning cartoon, right?
Well, yeah. Then they had him at, you know, when the kids came home from school, too, they'd play it, you know, like 4 o'clock. Anyway, Howard John writes in, the Patriots have to drastically change to become a Super Bowl team. I do not believe they can do that, and I am okay with that. Let's look at what has been going on. 2007, you go to the Super Bowl and come within a crazy catch away from winning and being undefeated. 2008, Brady blows out a knee in the first quarter, and we still win 10 games.
11.
2009, the start of rebuilding. We say goodbye to Hall of Fame wide receiver and retool our defense. We still go to the playoffs. 2010, continue to retool defense and build a brand new tight end, short passing based offense, almost getting rid of screen passes. 2011, 5-3 record with morons saying we should get rid of Brady and Belichick. We have had 2 years of rebuilding. Shouldn't he get a little bit more time? I love the Pats, and I want to believe they can be Super Bowl contenders every year, but nobody can do that. Every team needs to rebuild. Bill should be judged on if he can rebuild before the end of Brady's time. Our rebuilding years are better than most other teams that go for it in their years. I think that lost draft pick really hurt us.
Okay. Let me say this. I think that's a very rational look to that email, but you say that they're in a 2 year rebuilding process. Well, that's one thing, but what did you expect going into the season? What did you expect last year in the first week of January when they were 14-2? Did you think they were rebuilding? You know, when Vegas odds, which we just had Jeff on, the Vegas odds were the Patriots had the best odds to win the Super Bowl this August.
Right.
Did you think they were rebuilding then?
Right, not.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's easy to say when you lose games, well, this is a rebuilding
right.
year.
And we always said, we never, you know, on this show, we never admitted or said that they're rebuilding. We said they're retooling, but we never really felt that it was, as long as you got Brady here,
I don't have a
you're
problem. I don't have a problem if you want to say they're rebuilding, but I would tend to doubt that you really thought they were rebuilding when they were 14-2.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
I never got the
going
sense
into that year. I might have been one of those that said, well, yeah, I think they are probably in a little bit of a rebuilding mode. They have to fix this defense. And ultimately, they never did. They were 30th in pass defense last year and 32nd on third down.
Right.
You know? So then this year comes about, they have the best odds to win the Super Bowl in all of football. And they're 5-3 after 8 games. So I can't sit there and say, well, it's a rebuilding year.
Right. I don't get that sense either.
We have the same 4 absentees from practice as we had yesterday.
Same 4. So you got Fletcher, Chung.
Spikes and Wendell.
Spikes and Wendell.
Now, yep. I noticed Wendell. That Plax, again, was not at practice today.
Oh.
And saw some tweets from some of the Jets guys, maybe some concern there that he's not out there. Because he has missed some practice time previously.
Right.
But usually on Wednesday he's not out there, and then by Thursday he's limited. Friday he's back. It's a back issue, so we know how those can be with Vollmer.
Right.
Maybe because they don't have the depth at wide receiver. They can't afford to lose him. That's a big loss for them.
Brooklyn, it could be like a 10-7 game. Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Paul, I totally agree with you being peeved about Penn State, and I was totally in your corner in egging you on about Fred's Woodhead foolishness. That being said, hey, if you want to apologize to me, I'll accept it. You're forgiven. Secondly, hey, Fred, for the love of Pete, enough with the freaking Olivier phone calls. On every show on Patriots.com, every 5 minutes, it's, we have Olivier on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Well, call Brooklyn Matt. We'll have you on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
I told Kevin about this, but he wussed out on me and said it was your decision. Olivier, give it a dang rest, for Christ's sake. God. Wow.
Brooklyn Matt, we'd be happy to take your calls, especially when Andy's here.
He called up the other day just to yell at me for this, and he didn't have the balls to go on the air.
Yeah, he's one of those that he needs to think about all his words and craft them in a certain way.
Well, we always love listener on listener crimes.
I do too. You know. Good job, Brooklyn Matt.
Dan writes, and recently we've seen a lot of busting of the myths that have arisen around the Patriots. The Patriots and Tom Brady in particular own the Steelers. The Patriots don't lose twice in a row. The Patriots don't lose at home. It's a little weird that one had persisted given the Patriots have lost their last 2 playoff games at home.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, the Patriots take the big fat lumps of coal that other teams discard and magically turn them into superstars. So what's left? A football team. Does this football team return to the blue-collar work ethic of the Super Bowl era when the Patriots were a football team rather than a sporting juggernaut? And play strong throughout the rest of the year or continue to limp along. While the talent is lacking, I think, too, is the mindset. In the Pittsburgh game, Patriots players were celebrating sacking Roethlisberger late in the game when it was more or less irrelevant. Where was it earlier in the game? It seems the team's approach may not be what it used to be. There are deficiencies in talent on this team. Is there a deficiency in the mindset? How much of the present situation is salary-related? Brady is the highest-paid NFL player right now. Not that he doesn't deserve it. He's the greatest ever. But a lot of the previous Patriots' success was based on having a lot of depth due to being a keen economic, not cheap, management of salaries. Is that no longer the case? I don't think that has anything to do with it.
I don't think the problem with the Patriots is depth. I think it's top top end talent. And I think that, again, I'm going to say that in people are overlooking the fact that those Super Bowl teams were a hell of a lot more talented than people give them credit for. And when you sit there and say, well, it was the system and the mentality and the Patriot way and all that stuff, you're doing a tremendous disservice to about 15 players that aren't here anymore that are far better than the 15 players that are here now in their stead. They were a lot better back then than people remember.
Eric's here, and while he gets undressed...
Is it cold, or is it just raining?
Raining.
Yeah.
Are they outside?
Hard?
Yeah, out on the game field.
Raining hard?
On and off.
Going to affect my commute?
Not at this point.
Okay.
Jamie from Scotland says, I suppose I'm looking for a little perspective. We've lost two games, we're 5-3, and we've got possibly the worst defense since Belichick's reign began. But Cordy and Mayo have both proven themselves to be lacking this season, and we're really looking for a spark from anywhere. Can this be fixed? Way I see it, a safety to partner Chung, another corner option, an outside linebacker either for the return to the 3-4 or not, and another lineman to go with Vince and Andre. We have the personnel to fill the other slots, do we not? How fixable is this? Also, how do you rate Arrington? He's making plays this year. Do you prefer that to a better cover player with lower ball skills?
I would prefer a better cover guy who doesn't have five interceptions. But the overall point is right. I think Mayo and McCourty, you're right. Those two guys need to be better, and I think you were right to assume that they would be better heading into the year. The other part that I'll disagree slightly, they need a safety to partner with Chung. I think they need a number one safety. I think Chung is a second banana safety. I think, I think he's fine if you have other players around him. I don't think he's good enough as the lead guy. And that's what he is right now.
He's the de facto lead guy because
he's
the veteran. He's the most reliable.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Patrick Chung isn't the problem. I don't want to get into it, you know, just so you know, Eric.
No fights between you two today?
I issued a public apology.
To Fred?
To Fred.
To the fan base.
And to more importantly.
Not to you, though, specifically.
No, I did.
I'm only kidding.
You almost got me going. I issued it to Fred, but more importantly to our PFW in Progress loyal listeners.
For your behavior yesterday?
Yes. I am very, very distraught.
Are you?
Over the whole Penn State thing, and I let it get to me. And that definitely is affecting me. I am really, really upset about this.
Are you really? About?
No question.
Wait,
yes.
What part of the Penn State thing are you upset
about?
All of it.
But the cover-up to me has been insane. You know, just, I don't want to rehash it, but the most recent thing is this whole Joe Paterno, I'm resigning at the end of the year, and in hindsight, I wish I had done more. As if you need hindsight to let you know that child molestation is wrong.
And that you should report it no matter who.
Right.
Follow up after you report it, especially when the guy works for you.
Right.
So,
oh my God.
So he felt
so
like
I needed to get that out there. So I said it to you too.
Okay.
And there's no question in my mind that's why I took it even from my standards to a ridiculous length yesterday.
Oh.
Well, Eric's here, and he
apology accepted, Paul.
Thank you.
He just
apologizing to you.
No, I know.
I said nothing to you.
I know you didn't.
He just came back from practice, so what's going on?
It's starting to steadily rain out there. They're on the game field, as I mentioned earlier. And full pads number 8, Fred. Full pad practice number 8.
Okay.
So we're...
Three more.
3 more to go
before
week 11 ends, which is very soon. And the same 4 guys who were missing from yesterday are still missing. Chung, Fletcher, Spikes, and Wendell. I did see Chung Monday in the locker room, walking very slowly, walking with a slight limp, I would say, but didn't have any of the sort of medical boot, crutch, any sort of implement that you would think
what did he do?
He hurt his foot.
His foot. Okay.
Well, that's what he's listed as, a foot injury on the injury report.
All right. That could be anything.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know which one it is, left or right, but... did see him on Monday while the reporters were all huddled around. I think it was a Hedebo. He came sort of slinking in, not trying to avoid anybody, but just
it was sort of convenient that when he came in, they were all over there.
Right.
And then he kind of went straight to the training room and sort of gave
I'm pretty sure I saw him yesterday.
Did you?
He didn't talk.
No.
But I'm pretty sure I saw him walk through the locker room yesterday, but I didn't really notice how badly he was limping.
It's not looking good, Fred, for him for this Sunday, just based on, you know, practice attendance.
That's tough.
And
him and Spikes.
So you're looking at Ahedebo and Brown, I would think, as your starting safeties with... I would venture to guess that they would make Ventrone a game day activation from the practice squad, because I can't see them going.
Good. We're all set then.
Well, no, but because I can't see them going with Sterling Moore as a backup safety,
right?
Who's been here for a month or whatever it's been.
Yeah,
and weird to say it, but Ventrone has more experience here in New England than any of the other people under there. So
not as a safety though.
It's a good thing that the Jets offense
isn't a cornerback.
Their strength.
No, but I'm saying Sterling Moore might be a better defensive back
maybe
than Ross Ventrone.
Maybe.
That would be my assumption.
Whatever they do, I don't
feel good
about it.
You know how I make
my
blanket assessments
on
those things.
I do, as you are wont to do. So, I mean, that's pretty much it, Freddie, for practice.
A lot of media out there?
Not a whole lot.
No.
Not like yesterday when it was, you know.
What's the media saying about the Penn State thing? Everyone... kind of on the same.
I think most people are disgusted
by
the whole thing.
Anyone defending Joe Paterno? Is anyone saying?
I have
not that
heard
I've heard.
No.
Not that I've heard. No.
Okay. Which is a good thing because God only knows what I might have done to that poor soul.
Now,
might
the other thing
I feel within
not breathing anymore.
Right.
Have you guys talked about the idiocy of the students?
Oh yeah, just
That was part of like I was saying to Fred. Every single day, I'm waking up and I'm learning something in addition that's annoying me even more.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, the thing today, I knew when I went to bed last night that the Board of Trustees had voted to fire him immediately. I was very happy about that. But then I wake up this morning and I'm hearing the clips from that press conference and I'm listening to this snot-nosed punk, you know, getting up there and questioning the Board of Trustees as if they have any kind of right to do so. You know, why not let the man retire with just a little bit of dignity? Really?
They care more about the football legacy than they care about this.
And then they have guys... You know, guys that are holding cameras. I mean, it was, you know, just the righteous indignation on the part of the people. You know, did you inform him in person or over the phone? And evidently it was
over
the
phone. Right.
And there was like this gasp, this, how dare you? You know, Joe, really?
Yeah.
Why don't you go and face the families of those victims and then tell me that you care now whether or not Joe Paterno was fired
or read
you know,
the grand
in person
jury
or on the phone?
Testimony. Read the grand jury testimony.
So it's like every day, and that's what led to my you know,
you were a little upset
yesterday,
this
morning.
You were a little
upset.
Well,
no, it's
edge.
Every day. I am. It's bothering me every day, and I said to Fred upstairs, you know, like, and I don't mean to sound corny about this, like I'm like Robert Young from Father Knows Best or anything, but you know, I literally got to the point last night. I get home, I'm making lunch for Will for school today, and we're getting ready for bed. They're putting their pajamas on and stuff, and I'm getting them in, and I just looked at them and I called them both over, and I just picked them both up and hugged them, and I started crying. Like literally crying, and Will's looking at me like, "What's the matter?" And I can't even tell
him. You can't explain it.
I can't even talk to him why I'm so upset.
It's the worst feeling for a parent to know that your kid's in danger.
My kid one day is going to be out there, and I'm not going to be there to have him in my arms to hold him. And what's going to happen if someone like Joe Paterno's on watch?
That's right.
And I get myself in this huge lather all over again.
Right.
And like it really, really is bothering me.
I can tell.
And it's I know that's why I took the Woodhead thing so far yesterday because I was so frustrated. Mm.
And you were out of Diet Pepsi upstairs.
Well, there's too much Diet Coke in here, too. That's a problem as well. I mean, it's not, like I said to Fred earlier, it's not like...
Nobody diffuses a serious conversation better than Fred.
Well, you do have to do picks.
But it's... we have to hurry.
We have priorities.
We do have 16 games this week, too. We do have to hurry.
That's right.
But, you know, it's just...
But we don't have Andy, so...
It's so, you know, it's just sickening.
The idea that your kid... I remember the feeling I had... watching my kid get on the bus to go to kindergarten. And I felt thinking, how brave is he that he's just walking on there? No, I don't want to go. He just walked on that bus in a new town and went to kindergarten. I'm like, wow, anything can happen to him from this point on. You know, and it's this feeling of hopelessness as a parent. And then, like Paul said, you put your kids in the trust of this mother effer who had a foundation to help
kids. At-risk
kids.
Oh, my God. He's putting the kids at risk.
Not enough bad things can happen to this guy in prison. not enough bad things, really. You know?
You know, and I understand.
Hell on earth should happen.
And I understand it's not beneath me to engage in a 45-minute argument about Danny Woodhead's production.
Right, which is why none of us blinked an eye.
That could happen.
About it. Right.
That can definitely happen. And I could, you know, but I think that, you know, the immaturity of the cookie and the hot dog and, you know, yeah, how many times have I done that? 11. You know, like the stupidity of the lengths that I went, you know, and I just, I know that that's why. I'm not with it. I'm not on my game at all.
We do have to do picks. I want to take one call. Terrence wants to talk to Paul. So Terrence, what do you got for Paul?
Hey, Fred, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. I just want to say I haven't listened to yesterday's podcast. I'm going to try to do that tonight. But I don't think Paul should apologize for anything. The Penn State fiasco just shows what a bunch of moral cowards they are. And I have children, and I feel just like Paul does. People who have kids and haven't acted like they should have in Penn State are just abominations. So just keep fighting the good fight. Love the program. I listen to podcasts all the time, and take care, guys.
Thank you, Terrence. I appreciate
Terrence
that.
Terrence just wanted, and you know, that's why
I appreciate
I took that call.
And I'm glad, you know, like I said, I'm not apologizing because I got so upset about Penn State. I'm apologizing because I got so upset about Danny Woodhead.
Right.
Because I know that I did that because of my feelings on Penn State.
All right. So now it's time to go around the NFL. Okay. We don't need to take a break.
I don't know if we have time to take a break. We actually took one today. First one of the week.
Really?
Yeah.
But we don't have Andy today, so we have an extra 20 minutes to talk. Did he give you his pick?
No, he didn't.
Give the pregame social. Well, is there a game tonight?
There's a game tonight.
There is.
Chad we'll start off with the Thursday game.
Well, being Thursday, we got
to jump
that.
Over.
We'll jump over to
well,
the Sunday.
We have to do the Thursday game because if we don't, then... We won't be able to include it because the game will already have happened, and
it's a good thing we're not playing on Thursday,
right.
Paul, because then we wouldn't have to jump over that. We'd have to jump way back,
right?
And that would we might pull a hamstring,
right?
Very,
so,
very good point.
Tonight in San Diego, Oakland will be there, and they'll be playing an 8:20 game.
Okay, very quickly, I'm just going to relay last week's numbers. Fred and Andy went 9-5.
Had a terrible
Paul
week.
Went 8-6. Oh. Eric went 7-7. With the spread, Fred wins the week by himself at 10-4.
Good on you, Fred.
Paul and Andy went 9-5.
Oh,
and
boy.
Then Eric went 7-7.
I'm losing it.
Season standings are as follows. Fred in the lead at 89-41, followed by Eric at 87-43, Paul at 86-44, Andy at 82-48.
Damn.
With the spread, a tie for the top with Eric and Fred, 64-62-4. And Andy and I are tied 5 games behind you both, 59-67-4.
All right. Things are back in balance.
Oh, stop it.
So San Diego is favored by 7, Eric, tonight.
Initial
NFL Network game.
San Diego by 7. I will take the Chadges to win. Thank you. but you know what? I don't trust them. I don't trust them to win by more than 7, so I'll take the Raiders with the points.
Yeah, I will lay the points. I understand Eric's reluctance, but I think if they don't cover, they won't win. So I think that at some point, Phillip Rivers decides, I can't throw 2 picks this week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lay the points and say they bounce back.
I mean, San Diego has been, you know, as much as
schizophrenic as any team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Patriots haven't lived up to expectations, but boy, San Diego hasn't either. So they're kind of like in the same spot as the Patriots. They need to come out and play well.
Correct.
They're at home. I'm going to lay the points as well and say San Diego covers. All right, now we move to Sunday.
Oh, good.
At 1 o'clock.
Early 1 o'clock games.
Yes. New Orleans at Atlanta.
New Orleans at Atlanta. That is a pick 'em.
Ooh. Well, I'm going to pick the Saints because I think they're the better team.
So do we all automatically get one in the points column, in the spread column, if it's a pick 'em?
No, you have to pick a team to win.
The
and
team
if that,
that
team
wins.
Doesn't win, you don't get a,
oh,
you
right.
don't get credit for it.
Okay.
You lose.
All right.
But he's trying to pick up a cheap win
over
here.
That's quite a trick, though.
I know. Right?
I'm just going to bet the pick 'em games. No matter what, I'm going to win.
Exactly. I'll take the Saints because they're the better, I think, overall team. Atlanta too inconsistent for me, although they are playing better of late.
Totally agree. I'll take the Saints.
I'm going to go with Atlanta in this game. I think Atlanta gets up for it. Again, they're at home. I think Drew Brees, Paul said it a couple weeks ago.
Throwing a lot
about,
of picks.
Yes. Talk about guys flying under the radar.
Yeah,
he's one of the reasons why the Saints haven't lived up to.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You know? So I'm going to go with the Falcons, although I don't think they're doing much this year. Tennessee at Carolina, 1 o'clock.
Tennessee at Carolina. Panthers by 3.
I had a tough time with this one, but I will take the Panthers. Very inconsistent Titan team. I'll pick them both ways, Paul.
Yes, I will take the Panthers as well. Don't know what to make of either one of these teams, but I'll go with the home team.
Me too, Carolina. All right. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Now, this is an interesting game.
Sure is.
Cincinnati's been playing really well on defense, so I think this is not as easy to pick as some people might think.
Very tough game.
Yeah.
At Cincinnati, that young defense has played extremely well. However, it's Eric's pick, not mine.
Oh, yes. That's okay, Paul. I'm sure what you were going to say was a lucid point.
Roethlisberger's is pretty bad. He's the pushy one.
I struggle with this a little bit, too, but I'm going with the Steelers. If they hadn't lost last week the way they did to the Ravens, I might have gone with the Bengals in the upset. But I think the Steelers bounce back, and Andy Dalton comes down to earth a little bit.
They are favored by 3, by the way, the Steelers on the road. And the Andy Dalton part is the reason why I'm going with the Steelers. First time he's going to face this defense, I think it takes a little bit of an adjustment period for young guys. Some of them have had a tougher time than others. But I think this is going to, I thought Blaine Gabbert, for example, would get really rattled by that Steelers defense, and it really didn't happen. But I'll take the Steelers.
Looks like I was wrong about the Steelers this year. I really thought they'd have a down year. They're battling. I know they lost last week, and they still may not make the playoffs. You know,
it's a three-way tie, right?
Yes.
Or it meant by a half a game.
But they
difference.
Are playing well. I got to give them credit, and I think they're going to win this game in Cincinnati. So I'm going to go with the Steelers to cover as well. St. Louis at Cleveland. By the way, Eric, we were just watching something on TV last week. Cleveland playing the Texans.
Yeah.
And a guy from the Browns literally headbutted a guy from the Texans, and the guy from the Texans had his helmet off. This guy headbutted him with his and the guy from the Texans had a bandage that covered
Clay
his
Matthews.
Whole forehead.
Brian Cushing.
Cushing
headbutted somebody in
the Browns guy.
Oh, the Browns guy.
The Browns guy headed Cushing. Cushing didn't have his helmet on.
He took his helmet off in the middle of his heated exchange, and the Browns guy
headbutted him.
You know, he had this huge bandage over the whole front of his face.
Apparently you didn't hear about this either.
No.
Because I'm wondering what happened to the Browns guy. He should have been ejected.
He should have been
Ryan Clark got fined $40,000 for a borderline legal hit.
Right.
Yeah.
Suspended and probably fined, $50,000 at least.
Oh, I absolutely should have been. A, thrown out.
Oh.
B, fined.
And suspended, I believe.
I think he may have gotten thrown out of the game based on the way that the Browns were reacting. It looked like a lot of Browns. We don't have the volume on it here, obviously, when we were watching it. It looked like a lot of the Browns players were going up to Cushing to apologize.
He was
shaking hands with a lot of Browns guys. And I think, hard to tell what they were talking about, but my guess is they were like, sorry about that.
That was egregious.
All right, so St. Louis at Cleveland. The Browns are favored by 2.5.
What did I have here? Sorry.
You have to read it?
Yeah, I like to go. Like to make the same picks in the paper.
That way he avoids the 12-game difference between the radio
so
and
really
the paper.
You really make those picks with conviction if you don't remember who you pick.
Well, I don't remember. It was a few days ago.
I literally have a 12-game difference between my radio record and my paper record.
I'm going to go with the Rams. I think Bradford will be the difference in this game over McCoy. I thought the Browns were going to be a better team than they turned out to be this year, but they've disappointed me a little bit, and I'll go with the Rams on the road.
I'm not sure why you were so high on the Browns heading into the season.
I thought they were going to be better than they have been.
Yeah, see,
well,
to me,
Holmgren.
Is I think they have been better than I thought they were going to be.
Oh.
It was a bad team that their coach got fired. I mean, it's a bad team. I think we're all clouded by the one performance against the Patriots last year.
You know what? I think that might be
part of
it.
Well, the whole Peyton Hillis thing really screwed them up this year.
That is correct. And also, they have played pretty well on defense, and I think that's why they're going to win this game. I think they'll shut down a very impotent Rams offense. Mm. I'll take Cleveland.
I was going to do Peyton Hillis for my Around the NFL this week, but I did that other thing instead.
Okay.
This is a tough one for me. I'm going to take Cleveland. One last gasp.
Yeah, it is a tough one because they're two bad teams.
I'm going to take Cleveland. Sunday at 1, Buffalo at Dallas.
Yeah.
Big game.
Tough.
Big
game. Dallas by 5.5.
I'm going with the Cowboys to win. I vacillated on this for a long time.
How about them Cowboys?
I will take the Bills with the number, though, because I think it's going to be a very, very close game. Come down to a field goal or even a safety.
I am going to take Buffalo to win outright.
Really?
I think that Dallas is a fraud.
See,
Champion?
I don't think they're that good, Paul, but they're winning.
I don't think much of Buffalo.
They're starting to win ugly.
I don't think much of Buffalo. Well, they win one, lose one. That's what they do.
They're grinding out games a little bit, and I think...
Yeah, you shouldn't have to grind out home games against Seattle.
Yeah,
no.
Well, that's true. but I think...
That's why I think they stink. I think people are catching up to their offense, and I think they're slowing down, but I don't know. I just think the A's... I don't think Dallas is very good.
All right, I'm going to take the Cowboys, although, you know, I would love to be rooting for the Buffalo Bills because I love it when the Cowboys lose. But I can't anymore.
You're right about that. It's too late. Too late in the season to be rooting for stuff like that.
Yep.
Jacksonville at Indianapolis.
Jacksonville by 3 on the road.
You know, I can't pick the Colts.
No.
I'm sorry. I can't. And Gabbert has shown me just enough that I'll take him on the road against the terrible Colts team.
Chris Polian's an IR now. I mean, that's how much they've given up.
Yeah, I agree. I know what you want. You want to pick the Colts, I can tell, and I do too. I'm not going to for the same reason. Maurice Jones-Drew is enough to win this game for Jacksonville. Indy can't stop anybody doing whatever they do, running, passing, and I can't. I'm going to see them go 0-16. I don't think they're going to go 0-16, but I don't think I'm going to pick
them.
Who are
they going to beat?
I don't know.
They'll beat. They might win this game.
It'll be a division game. They'll win a division game.
All right.
At home against Jacksonville, this is as good a chance as they have.
Yeah.
At home against Tennessee, they have somewhere down the road. They could win that one, too. But I'll take Jacksonville.
Me, too. Sunday at 1, Denver at Kansas City. It's Tebow time.
Tebow.
Kansas City by 3.
Yeah. Another tough game because I don't know what to make of these Chiefs. They're killing me.
The chefs.
Yeah, they are. They have become the chefs again. I will take them because they're at home, and I'll probably get burned by it. But what was the number again, Paul?
3.
Yeah, win and cover.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs because Tebow's the other team's quarterback.
John Fox says that they're designing more plays for Tebow, more option-type plays. And
that's smart.
That's what you have to do.
Because he can't throw.
I'm going to go with Tim Tebow, and I'm going to say that...
I don't think you heard that.
The Broncos, Tebow mania continues in Denver.
You were Tebowing in your office today.
I was.
Yes, Eric and I caught you.
Yep. Washington at Miami.
Washington at Miami. Dolphins coming off their first win, favored by 3.5.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to chuck that up more to the Chiefs just being the Chiefs and not the Dolphins turning things around at all. So I'm going to go back and have them lose again. Take the Redskins, even though, you know what, Paul? I can't stand that Redskins team either.
Yeah, until they put Grossman back in, I don't take Washington because they're playing
against the...
Much like Denver, they're playing without an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Much like
John Beck cannot play. Cannot.
Guess that's why the Dolphins got rid of him, right?
I will take.
Wasn't he there first?
Yes, I will take Miami, and I think Miami has actually played pretty well. They should have beaten Denver. They should have beaten the Giants. Then they did beat whoever they played last week. Who'd they beat? Kansas City. I think the Dolphins are still playing hard for Tony Sparano. I'll pick them to win this one.
I hope Tony Sparano ends up in a good place next year.
Well, he's out. We know that.
He's out. I hope he ends up in a good job on the staff?
Capacity?
What's his specialty?
His area of expertise?
O-line.
I think he was an offensive line
O-line
coach.
And he was offensive.
Probably don't need him.
Right.
We have the best offensive line coach in football.
Pretty much an offensive coach throughout his career.
Yeah. If he was defense, I'd give him a shot.
He was our coordinator
at BU.
Check
out the Natalie Clad,
was
John
he?
Rook.
Yeah.
You played for Tony Sparano?
He was on the staff.
Are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at everything.
Okay. Well, you kicked for Tony?
Tony wasn't the head coach, so.
All right.
The late Dan Allen was.
All right, so did you already pick?
I did. I picked Miami.
Yeah, I'm taking Miami, too. Arizona at Philadelphia.
Let's move on from this one. Kevin, we need a number for that game. Arizona, Philadelphia.
Okay, there's another 1 o'clock game. A lot of 1 o'clock games. Houston at Tampa Bay.
Houston by 3
with
on the
Hainsworth.
Road.
Hainsworth, yeah.
Had a great practice,
by
the way.
Yeah, taking part in all the drills over there. Yeah. You heard he said, I should have been there all along.
Yeah.
That was his quote today. Should have been in Tampa. Well, after he said, I should have been here all along.
To the,
in New
the contract that he almost signed when he you know, took the $100 million from the Redskins.
It's convenient. But you know what? The Texans are the better team, and I'm going to take them.
F-R-O-D, fraud.
Texans.
Yes, cover. I will take Houston as well. This is a game they have to win. If they want to be a playoff team, you have to beat teams like Tampa Bay on the road. Won't be easy, but I think they do it.
Mm-hmm. Did we get a number for Arizona-Philadelphia? Because I don't like to go to four until I finish one. Because
that's a really big hop back.
Hurry up. I have to go to the bathroom. To do.
What is it? Just
he's coming
it.
In.
Headline
news just coming in.
He's to come in, deliver this.
Yeah,
our
and now I got to find
around the globe.
Big production.
Philadelphia by 14, but did you pick the other game? Houston?
I picked Houston.
Philly
Houston?
By 14? Yeah.
Philadelphia by 14.
Oh, they did it to me. I'll take the Eagles to win, but I can't go 14, even with the Cardinals. Pathetic a team as they are. So I'll take the points.
I will take Philadelphia, and I will lay the points.
Really?
I think this is a game that they blow them out because they're so pissed off about their performance Monday night.
Yeah, I'm going to take Philly, but I will not lay the points. I'll take the points. All right, so now we go. There's only three games in the 4 o'clock hour.
Come on, man, I just downed a 2-liter of Diet Coke.
I
got to go to the bathroom.
I don't call them 4 o'clock games, but they're in the 4 o'clock hour.
The window.
Yeah, and so this first one starts at 4:05, Baltimore at Seattle.
Paul loves it. When you give us the time.
Baltimore at Seattle.
Baltimore by 6.5.
And they will easily cover that, Paul.
Okay.
Against a terrible Seattle team.
No fear of a letdown after that big win on the road last week?
No.
I have a fear, but I am going to take Baltimore because they're so much better. But I worry about this. This is a long trip in a tough place even against a bad team that they should beat. They've already lost to a couple of bad teams this year. They've lost to Tennessee. They've lost to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Both on the road. This could be a third.
Yeah, I think that that's a team that doesn't really have emotional letdowns, so I'll stick with Baltimore in that game.
I just told you they lost on the road to Tennessee and on the road to Jacksonville.
Not because of emotion.
Absolutely. Are you
Flacco.
Kidding me? Their Monday night performance
Flacco's
was
back.
That was the flattest team I've ever seen in my life, that loss to Jacksonville.
You think so?
Are you kidding
me? The defense played great. Right?
Did you watch the game?
Not all of it. No.
Yeah,
they didn't get a first down until like halfway through the third quarter.
No, but neither did the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Sure, they did.
They did. I thought that it was like a defensive.
Not a lot. It was a defensive game, but Jacksonville doesn't have any players.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll take Baltimore anyway. I think they're pumped up. Flacco's back. 4:15.
I hope you're right. I like Baltimore.
Detroit at Chicago.
Detroit. Detroit by 2.5.
I like the Lions to win and cover. Fairly comfortably, and by that I mean anywhere from...
Nick Fairley?
No, but that's good. I like what you did there.
Thanks. Andy's not here. Someone has to be the moron.
7 to 10 points because I just don't trust Jay Cutler, and he won a big game on the road this week. I don't trust him to come back and do it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I'm with Eric. I'm going to take the Lions. I think they they righted the ship after those two losses, so I think they continue it. This is a big game. They can win the season series over Chicago, put some distance between them and Green Bay and the Bears. That'd be big.
Yeah, I got to go with Detroit as well. The Giants travel to San Francisco.
Very interesting game. San Francisco by 3.5.
One of the top teams in the Hart-Wilson Index.
They're number one, are they not?
I think so.
Wilson Hart, by the way.
Oh.
Don't give Andy that much credit.
4:15 game.
That makes all the difference to me now, Paul.
Stop doing that. It makes me cough.
I will take the home team, Paul, to win. And cover, I think it's going to be tough. I know the Giants have already gone West Coast when they went out and beat Arizona. I don't think they do it twice in the season. I just don't think they're that good.
I'm with you. I think San Francisco is very, very good defensively. They don't have much offensively other than Frank Gore. But I like what they're doing. I like the way they're coached. And I think they find a way to win this game. And I don't know if you guys saw. Did you see any of the – if Fred saw it, he would have probably mentioned it by now because it would have probably pissed him off to no end. The locker room footage from the Giants after they won.
Oh, when putting Coughlin on their shoulders. I saw it.
You know, like the little pep rally kind of
stuff.
They
won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they re-won their Super Bowl. Right.
That, to me, is a sign, you know, to use Fred's word,
of
the emotional letdown to follow.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I think you go out to San Francisco coming off that kind of a win with that kind of reaction.
And you mentioned coaching just very quickly. Credit to Jim Harbaugh. For being able, as a new coach in a lockout year,
to
implement the system.
That was my around the NFL
the
a couple
way
of weeks
wanted.
Ago.
I mean,
and it's
good
not
on
like
him.
They added like all these great players since last year. He's doing it with
basically
the same team.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm going to go with the 49ers as well. All right, we skip over the Sunday night at 8:20 game.
John, in case you were wondering, the next game was the Patriots game. He skipped over that one.
So we go to Monday at 8:30, where Green Bay hosts Minnesota.
Green Bay by 13 and a half.
You know what?
I don't know.
The Packers, yeah, I'll take the Packers and lay the points, Paul, because that mistake that they almost made in San Diego last week, not going to happen again. They're at home Monday night. They're going
to
kill.
That's the only thing I worry about with those big Vikings. Spreads is their defense continues to let up cheap points late in games, and sooner or later it's going to hurt them because they're doing it on a consistent basis. But I'll take the Packers and lay the points, too.
Me too. Packers, do they go undefeated?
No. If they want to.
I don't think they will, though.
I think if they decide to go after it, they will.
All right, so now we go back to Sunday at 8:20, where the Patriots travel to New Jersey to Giants Stadium to play the Jets. What's the number
there? MetLife.
Jets. No, it's the Giants Stadium.
Jets by 1.5.
See what I did there? MetLife. Yeah, good on.
What's that?
It's the Jets by 1.5.
Jets by 1.5.
And the Jets will win that by more than 1.5.
Wow.
They're the they're playing better right now. The Patriots are reeling a little bit, and they've already beaten the Jets once this year. The Jets need this game much. I hate to say it, but the Jets kind of need this game a little bit more right now.
I agree with that.
Even though looking at their schedules, they have six common opponents in their last seven games. The Jets and Patriots do. So
both teams have
very easy schedules to end it. I think the Patriots could easily go 6-2 and have a better second half record than a first half record. 11-5 may still not be enough to make the playoffs, though, given the bunch of teams within that 3-4 loss record right now. But the Jets are playing better. I got to go with them at home.
I think it's we talked about it all week. I think it's a toss-up game. I don't know if the Jets have the offense to really expose the Patriots' defense. I don't know if they have the offensive mindset. And if Plax can't play, which it looks like he's missing practice for the second day in a row today, I think that's a significant loss. But I got to go with the home team here. I think even when the Patriots are playing well, they have tended to struggle down there. Rex Ryan's defense, with the exception of that 45-3 game, has really slowed down New England. I don't take New England's chances away. I think the Patriots can absolutely win this game, and I don't think it'll be an upset if they do. But I'm going to go with the trends here and say the Patriots are going to have a tough time down there. I'll take the Jets.
Well, I have to admit, I did consider taking the Jets, but
then you woke up.
You know, all signs point to a Jets win. However, I just can't do that. At this point, my team needs me.
Really beautiful.
This is a time of need. I can't. This is a complete homer pick. I admit it. I'm picking the Patriots. I can't desert my team in this time of need. I'm sticking with the Patriots. I will rejoice after the win for having done so. It'll make it that much more sweet for me. And I think they do run the ball. I think they control the clock. I think they take advantage of Jets' mistakes, and they win the game. Go Patriots.
I'm shocked. I can't believe it.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. John Rook is standing by. You have Joe Paterno on the show.
Well, he's available.
What's going on today? You got Russell Baxter.
Russell Baxter will be in. Eric Allen from Jets.com will also join us.
Okay.
And we're going to find out if our listeners feel the same way you do. Are they going to get behind the team today? Is it time to support the Patriots in their hour of need? Or are you going to let a little reality set in here like it did for Paul and for Eric both? And unfortunately for me, too.
I'm nothing but unrealistic. All right. So that's going to be it for our show.
Irrational.
Stay tuned for John Rook and Pete Shepard at 4. And we'll talk to you. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
I turn the music up. I got my records on. I shut the world outside until the lights come up. Maybe the streets are light. Maybe the trees are gone. I feel my heart stop beating. To my favorite song. We'll be right back.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.